Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, ARCA, NASCAR Sprint Cup, NASCAR Nationwide, NASCAR Camping World Trucks, the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series. It's all here, and it's all racing. Welcome to Race Time Radio, presented by Shell Rotella, heavy-duty diesel engine oil. Covering dirt to asphalt on races, famed short tracks, all the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio. Of course, we're presented by Shell Rotella. We aren't in the Racetime Radio studio this morning, but we are on top of the fan deck here at Daytona International Speedway, getting all set and ready to go today for the Gatorade Duels. Of course, qualifying for the Daytona 500. Who will make it in? Will Kenny Wallace do it? Will Michael Waltrip make it in there? There's a bunch of questions that are going to get answered here today at Daytona International Speedway. Want to thank Grant Slater back in the Racetime Radio studio for pushing the buttons and putting us through the right pieces of equipment to make it to you, the race fans. What a speed week so far down here, fans. I'll tell you, the weather has been absolutely gorgeous, with the exception of a couple passing showers, we'll call them. Last night, action rained out at New Smyrna Speedway and at Volusia County Speedway on the dirt tracks, but the action has been hot and heavy all week long, and today we're going to hear from some of the winners from the last Super Late Model race, and we're going to also hear from the Pro Late Models. I know you're all interested in how the Canadians are doing down here. We'll start out at New Smyrna Speedway. What do you think we do that? Brendan Watson went into the race not last night. Of course, it rained out the night before. Brendan Watson has had some good success here at New Smyrna Speedway. He won night number one, but unfortunately got disqualified due to a rule infraction. He did bounce back, and he was in the race just the other night. He did come home second. We're going to hear from Brendan in a few minutes here. Of course, qualifying for the Daytona 500 is in the Gatorade Duels. It happens today here at Daytona, and it all gets underway at 2 o'clock for Gatorade race number one. On the pole for that race, the 99 of Carl Edwards. Outside pole will be a fan favorite here at Daytona, guaranteed. Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the 88. Starting in row two, Marcus Ambrose in the 9 car, the Stanley Ford. I got to tell you, Marcus Ambrose is looking real sporty here at Daytona International Speedway. If you're in a pool at all, you're going to want to take Marcus Ambrose. He is going to be a good solid pick for you. Starting outside, Marcus Ambrose will be the 6 car, the nationwide champion from last year. That is Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Starting off in row 3 on the inside, last year's Daytona 500 winner, the 21 of Trevor Bain. Outside Trevor, a good friend of his, I think, the number 14 of Tony Stewart. I know everybody up in Canada loves Tony. He's coming back to us weekend, remember that. And, of course, he's the 2011 NASCAR Sprint Cup champion. Watch for him to be strong here at Speed Weeks and definitely in this Gatorade race here today. Looking down a little further in the field in row 4, starting 7th, the 43 of Eric Amarillo. He is going to roll off in the 7th spot. Starting 8th, the 27 of Paul Menard. He's also looking real good down here. Now, in row 5, the number 34 of David Reagan will go green today in Gatorade race number 1. Starting in 10th, A.J. Allmendinger, new ride in the 22 Shell Pennzoil Dodge for Penske. That car looks fantastic. He's on his third one, I might add, this week, having problems earlier in the week in practice for the Budweiser Shootout. That cost him a car. And then, of course, we all seen the big wreck that took place in the Budweiser Shootout. That cost A.J. his second car. So he is in his third car, but he does guarantee that that is a great machine. Watch for him to be strong here today. Row six, on the outside, we got the two of Brad Keselowski in the Miller Lite Dodge. Spoke with Brad yesterday. You're going to hear from him a little bit later in the program. But Brad went for a twirl through the infield in practice yesterday. We're going to talk to Brad Keselowski coming up shortly. Outside, Brad is the number 29 in that sixth row. It's Kevin Harvick. He's always a fan favorite. He's in the Budweiser Chevrolet. Watch for him to be strong here today. The number 31, Jeff Burton, will be rolling off on row seven. He's on the outside. We talked to Jeff a little bit earlier. You're going to hear from him as well today. The 42 of Juan Pablo Montoya is going to start beside Jeff. They're great guys. They're good friends. You can expect these two guys to maybe hook up at some point throughout the day. The number 30 car of David Stremme is in the Daytona 500. He qualified his way in on time. We're going to see David Stremme in that number 30. Also in row 8, the one of Jamie McMurray. Haven't seen a lot from Jamie this week, but the Gatorade duels are today. I know he's up for the task. He can't wait to get out there. In row 9, it's got to be the most talked about driver here at Daytona International Speedway, the 10 of Danica Patrick. She's in the GoDaddy.com Chevrolet. That is going to be a car to watch in this field. Outside Danica, past champion of the series, Terry Labonte, will be in the number 32 today. In the number 40 in row 10, Michael Waltrip for Aaron's. He's in the Dream Machine Toyota. He has to qualify his way into this Daytona 500. It will be one of those cars to watch. Beside Michael Waltrip in 20th, pardon me, will start 20th. It's the 11 of Denny Hamlin, brand new crew chief on that car. He can't wait to get going here today in the duels. In row 11, Michael McDowell, and you're going to hear a lot about Michael McDowell. He's driving for Phil Parsons in the number 98. We will hear from Michael a little bit later in the program. Also in row 11, the 82 of Landon Castle. He is going to be trying to get into the Daytona 500. In row 12, the 38 of David Gilliland. He's had great success here at Daytona over the years. Watch for him to be strong today in Gatorade race number 1. Outside of David Gilliland, Kenny's brother Mike. He's going to be in the number 37, and he'll be starting in the 24th starting spot. Rounding out the field for Gatorade race number 1 is the number 7 of Robbie Gordon. It'll be interesting to see how this first Gatorade race all unfolds. It comes up today at 2 o'clock on Fox. Yesterday, in the garage area, had a chance to speak to some of the different Cup drivers and get their thoughts and opinions into what's going to be taking place later this afternoon. I caught up with a real interesting guy. You're going to want to hear from him. He's going to start Gatorade race number 2 right on the pole, and he will start outside pole for the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. Of course, I'm speaking about the number 16. That's Greg Biffle for Roush Fenway. Caught up with him yesterday. Here's what he had to say.
You know, the car's running really good, 3M Ford Fusion. All the guys have done a great job with these race cars, these restrictor plate cars. Doug Gates and the engine shop going to fuel injection. I'm just having a lot of fun. I'm getting to drive a fast car, so I'm not complaining.
So Thursday is really going to be a good test for you. You're going to try and get out there and win that, or just play it safe for the 500?
I think a little of both. I think we're going to try and win it if we're in the right position. But, you know, let's face it, we get back there and, you know, get three wide and jumbled up. You know, we need to take care of this car. Otherwise, we won't start on the front row. So probably a little of both. You know, if it gets we get a little concerned. I know my crew chief, he's concerned already. But if it gets a little concerning, then we may try and just protect our car.
Looking at the 500, the thought of going to the back and hanging out for the day used to be the way. Do you think it's going to come in that way this year with the package that you guys have?
I really don't know. I don't think so. I mean, occasionally there's going to be times where you have to make an extra pit stop because, you know, you got to fix a bumper or you got to work on some issue. And you may not the have the right then and there. May not be an urgency to get back to the front right away. That's a good thing about, you know, you'll be able to take your time and get up there. So I don't think guys are just going to go back and ride around all day. But if you find yourself back there, you may hang out for a bit before you start working your way to the front.
That 500 would sure look good on your trophy case.
Yeah, it would. It'd be a great way to start the season, too.
You watch Greg Biffle in that race later today. He is really strong. Those Fords, real fast yesterday in practice. Looking at the leaderboard, another driver that was incredibly fast was last year's Daytona 500 winner, Trevor Bayne. We're going to hear from him in just a second. A guy that went for a twirl yesterday in practice, and it was kind of a scary-looking trip through the infield here at Daytona, was Brad Keselowski in the number two Miller Lite Dodge. Got a chance to speak to him as he was coming through the Nationwide Garage. Here's what Brad had to say.
I think so. You know, we've got three, I think, pretty fast rides here with the truck running Friday night, the Nationwide car Saturday, and the Cup car Sunday, and the big one, of course, the 500. So, three really quality rides that I feel very lucky to have.
And you went for a little spin earlier today in that last practice. Kind of scary going through there.
Yeah, well, that's certainly not what you want to do, but, you know, lessons learned. Lessons learned.
Daytona is always an exciting race. With the new rule package in the Cup side, how is the car? Does it feel more stable, less stable?
You know, it's tough because the tire level really, the tire grip level really dictates the grip. And, you know, that hasn't changed. So I didn't notice a huge difference.
You're going to be a busy guy running between all three of these garages with the truck stuff and the Nationwide car going along with your Cup. How do you balance your time?
Very delicately, and I've got good people that help me put everything together. And sometimes, quite frankly, we don't get it all done. So it's not easy.
It's going to be wild seeing young J.R. Fitzpatrick in a truck full-time this year in the 60.
Yeah, absolutely. I did a little bit of work with J.R. in the truck series, and, you know, he's got the potential to do some great things. So good for him.
Good luck Thursday. Can't wait to see you in that 500.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, just a little bit later today, the trucks will take to the track here at Daytona International Speedway for the first time in 2012. J.R. Fitzpatrick will be in his truck. The truck number is 60. For those of you that have maybe not heard that J.R. is in that ride, he's going to be full-time this year with Stacy Compton in the number 60. Of course, that's the truck that Cole Witt came out of last year. It's going to be exciting to see how J.R. makes out in this field. A little bit later in the program, we're going to hear from more of those truck, the Camping World Truck Series drivers. I did get some words with a few of the different guys. Now, back to the Sprint Cup Garage and thoughts leading into today's race and also looking at the Daytona 500. Caught up with a wealth of knowledge, the number 31 of Jeff Burton. Here's what Jeff had to say. I know he's ready for the 500.
13th, lucky 13, roll off.
I hope it's lucky. We've not had much luck down here through testing and a shootout the other night. You know, we've been in these the pack racing hadn't worked out for us. There's been three wrecks directly in front of me, and I've been in all three of them. So we're hoping to get things turned around.
Well, you're going to dodge them all. Big day Thursday for the qualifying for the 500. What's the plan of attack, so to speak, for Thursday?
Well, we're going to go race like we always do. I think it's important to race and go learn what your car can and can't do. You know, the pack racing stuff, you just got to do everything you can not to start to wreck. You know, if you don't start to wreck, then hopefully you won't be in one. And really, that's the strategy. Go race hard. Go be smart. Treat it just like the 500. You know, a lot of people say, you know, you take more chances in the 500 you do other races. I mean, the reality of it is you got to finish to win it. You know what I mean? And you got to be smart. So, you know, I'll use the race on Thursday to tune myself up a little bit and make sure I'm in the condition I need to be mentally for the 500. Have a good strategy going into the 500, and that's the way I'll use Thursday.
The two-car tangle looks actually treacherous out there at times.
Well, it's never been easy. You know, it looks easy, but it's never been easy. And with this shoulder spoiler and the longer rear bumpers and stuff, it's really pulled a lot of downforce off the cars, and they move around a lot more. So that definitely makes it harder. And the fact that not everyone's doing it, it makes it different too. When everybody was doing it, the cars were spread out a lot more. Now you got people in a tandem situation around other cars that aren't, and that makes things difficult as well.
Something that we haven't heard a lot about this weekend, and probably because it's a non-issue, but tires,
Will you take on tires early if you get the opportunity, or will it really come into play?
It might come into play. You know, after they paved the racetrack, the grip level got really high, and it hasn't been much of an issue. So I don't know how much you'll be putting on tires. It's going to be the warmest day of the week tomorrow, and that's going to mean that handling could come into play. I don't think you're going to have a constant handling issue, but I think that as you get around other cars and you're really dicing, trying to be aggressive in where you go, then you could be limited by not being able to do some things. And if that's the case, then putting on tires could help you.
Is NASCAR done changing now for the 500? You think you got the package all figured out?
I suspect they are. Unless we get surprised tomorrow, I think that they've got a reasonable. They've accomplished more than I thought they could with the PRV and the temp. I think they've got the ratio right now. So I don't anticipate any more changes from where we are.
Thanks so much, Jeff. Good luck in Thursday.
Thank you.
You got to watch Jeff Burton today in that Gatorade race. He is going to be one fast car. You can guarantee it. Like Jeff said, he's had some trouble so far this week. If there's a wreck, he's been in it. It's all happened in front of him, and he is definitely looking for a great day here at Daytona International Speedway. We're going to also hear from Jeff's brother, Ward. Of course, he's back here in a truck this year. I caught up with him yesterday. We're going to play that a little bit later, but the Burton family, well represented here at Daytona International Speedway. Great to see, and I can't wait to watch Jeff in that Gatorade race number one. That'll come up today later on Fox. Another driver I got a chance to speak with has a ton of experience in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. He really made a name for himself in the number 18 Interstate Battery car for Joe Gibbs a few years ago. Then he got out of that ride, and he has been bouncing around from team to team since. I believe he's got the right combination this year, and his name is J.J. Yaley. Here's J.J.
You are going to be a busy guy. I walked through the Nationwide garage and seen another car with your name on it.
That's the way I like it. I like to spend more time in a race car than sitting on the sidelines watching. But a great opportunity this week for me, obviously, getting to run for Robinson Blakeney Racing. We were going to try to qualify this America Israel car through the Gatorade 150s. But on the Nationwide side, we have JPO Absorbents on board. The car's locked in on points. So not much stress on the Nationwide side, just an opportunity to go have some fun and brush up on my restricted play racing.
In the Cup side of things, you guys did pick up some valuable speed on the track here just in this last practice. How does it feel now?
I mean, the car drives great, and, you know, obviously when you come down to Daytona, there's two different agendas. You have your qualifying agenda, and then you have a race agenda, and sometimes you don't have the fastest qualifying car, but they're still good race cars. So, you know, we didn't exactly know what we had when we came down here. We were hoping for the best and expecting the worst and ended up kind of in the middle. You know, the engine, the temperatures are going to be the biggest key, you know, with all the new rules that NASCAR mandated. Keeping these engines cool is going to be key, and you know, just rolling around by yourself in a pack, you know, the cars are running between 240 and 250 degrees, which is almost the maximum temperature you like to see. So it's going to make the two car tandem draft very hard to do, which, you know, obviously was the goal. But at the same time, we got to make sure we don't melt these motors down just being in a pack.
Supposed to be one of the warmest days of the week.
That's exactly right. I noticed, you know, just from running 10-15 laps earlier in a pack, you know, that a couple of the cars that weren't necessarily pushing, just pretty tight to the car in front of them, started spewing water, which usually happens between 250 and 260. So, again, that's only 10-15 laps on a day that's overcast and pretty cool and not that many cars. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think, you know, the more time guys spend on the racetrack and pack, you know, NASCAR may either have to tweak the stats that they have going right now, or you're going to see a lot of guys drafting for a while, falling back, trying to keep these cars cool because, you know, the horsepower drops tremendously over 240 degrees. So, you know, you can't be there to win the race if you don't have nothing left.
Friends on the track meant everything last year in the Gatorade duels and in the 500. This year, probably not as much bearing on that, but you still need friends on that track. You're a veteran out here. You got lots of guys to work with.
I certainly hope so. You know, I guess that's the small downfall of being with a new team because, you know, every time you come into Daytona, you're going to have different cars, different teams, and the drivers don't always stay familiar with who's who. And, you know, I know that usually you go out there and you're smart. Regardless, guys will figure out who they want to draft with, who they know is going to be safe. I'm very glad that we're not doing the tandem qualifying anymore because, you know, without a friend, you definitely, you know, stand a chance.
Last year, we seen Toyotas pushing Fords, Fords pushing Chevys. This year, it seems like brand loyalty plays a little more of a role.
Well, it plays a huge role, and obviously, you don't want to go out there, you don't want to help another manufacturer win the race, but once we get back to regular pack racing, like I think you're going to see this year in the Daytona 500, it's still every man for himself.
You got to watch for J.J. Yaley. He's in the 49 car today. He's one of those guys that's got to get out there and qualify his way in, but watch J.J. Yaley. He's driving for James Robinson, and they're definitely going to be a tough team. He's also going to be in that Nationwide Series. Nationwide cars are hitting the track. They're out there practicing. Man, the boys this summer are flying around Daytona International Speedway. It's great to see. Real good news now, everyone. We've got Buddy Baker is going to stop by here. He's going to jump on with us. You all remember Buddy Baker. He's the winner of the 1980 Daytona 500. And it is going to be exciting to get Buddy's perspective. Buddy, good morning. How are you?
Wow. You know, I got up this morning, I went, uh-oh, rain. Now it's beautiful out here. The sun's peeking out, and everybody's getting ready for the qualifying races today. Exciting day in Daytona.
Buddy, you know exactly what these guys are going through here at the Speedway. It's got to be, you know, the butterflies got to be flying, especially in guys that need to race their way into this race. It's got to be crazy.
You know, I talked to Rusty Wallace last week, and I said, do you still miss it? Because I do. After all these years of being retired, I still miss the show. And joining us right now is Chocolate Myers, one of the most famous gas men of all time on the number three of Dale Earnhardt. And it ain't right that you and I are up on top here and everybody's getting ready for the qualifying races. One of my favorite events during Speed Weeks is always the qualifying races, because the biggest mistake you can ever make is not to run if you're on the pole.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that you learn. And these guys in the pits, like Chocolate, it's an opportunity to do what you do and find out if you have a weak spot on the team that needs to be worked on before the Daytona 500.
Yeah, Buddy, I want to talk about that a little bit, because I heard some talk this morning. We're driving in, and somebody had mentioned, you know, the qualifying races aren't what they used to be. Well, they're not, and neither is anything else. But I got to tell you something. If you think about this just a little bit, if you're a fan of Kenny Wallace, if you're a fan of Michael Waltrip, if you're a fan of Mike Wallace, Robbie Gordon, there's six or eight guys that have got to make this race today in this qualifying race. It's still exciting. I love every lap of it.
You know, I talked to Tony Stewart about Danica.
Yeah.
And I said, you do realize there's a storm of brewing just behind her. There's some guys that are desperate to get in the Daytona 500, and they got to go. And she's in between the fast cars and the cars that have to try to qualify today to get in Daytona 500. And there's just a few spots open, Chuck.
Yeah, I think, what, 3-4 spots open at max. I'm telling you, but yet again, you got guys that have been here all week that have not made it. We're down to just a few days to go, and some people still have an opportunity today to get in the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. I love the way they do it, Buddy. I just like it.
I go back to when I ran the Marine car here.
Yeah.
Qualified 58th, and I went, I'm doomed. And then I realized it's no longer about the bow and the arrow. Now
that's
it's
right
up to the Indian.
Yeah.
And when they dropped that green flag, I went up to third place and got myself into the Daytona 500. And Benny Parsons walked up to me and he said, Buddy, I don't even think you know what you just did.
Yeah, amazing. I watched that story last night. You guys probably did. On Kenny Wallace and the chase to get into the Daytona 500. It was a wild story where we got a chance to go right inside Kenny Wallace's life and to hear him talk about the Great American Race and to get into that Daytona 500 and what all goes into it. The feelings have to be just electric inside those guys right now heading into that qualifying races.
Joe, you mentioned Kenny Wallace, but I want to take a little step further. It's not just, and look, I love the guys, our heroes of this sport, I love them, but it's also about that entire race team. Now, making this race or not making this race could mean what you do the rest of this year. This is a huge deal, and I don't think, once again, for us, I've been doing this all my life. Buddy Baker grew up doing this. We've all done it. We love it. We love the tradition of coming to Daytona. We love the fact that we've got qualifying races. And yeah, it is exciting, and especially for the driver and the crew and the people that are paying the bills to make this race, gets them on down the road, gets them some more races.
You know, I've heard a lot of the guys talking, well, I'm locked in. I said, is that going to change the way you race? No.
No.
No, we're racers. Yeah, and Dale Earnhardt, and you can attest to this, he wanted to win practice. He wanted to win the qualifying race, and he wanted to win the 500. He didn't say, well, you know, we got a good spot for the 500. No, sir. He was a race car driver, and a real racer realizes that data you get from today's races will dictate how you run the first part of the 500.
Yeah, and it will. This really sets the bar for each and every one of these race teams. Fans, if you're just tuning in right now, welcome to Racetime Radio. I'm sitting here and honored to sit here with the 1980 Daytona 500 winner, Buddy Baker, and Chocolate Myers, that also has tasted victory here with Dale Earnhardt Sr. back in 1998.
Yeah.
Just amazing to have you guys sitting here with us and hearing you here on Racetime Radio. Chocolate, it doesn't get any bigger than what we're going to see today heading into the 500.
Let me tell you how big today is. And once again, yeah, you see this 1998 Daytona 500 ring, that's pretty cool. But I got to tell you something else that a lot of people have forgotten about. You talk about the importance and how exciting those qualifying races are. Dale Earnhardt, and I was a part of that race team. I was very fortunate to be a part of that race team for so many years. You do realize, and this is a record that I don't think it will ever be broken. Dale Earnhardt won all of the qualifying races in the 90s. Won 10 of them straight. In the 90s, there was only one of the guys that won the other race. Dale Earnhardt won every one he was in the 90s.
I got a quick story about him leading the qualifying race when I was driving for Bud Moore. And Dale was just behind me coming off turn four. And all of a sudden I went, oh, golly, I got sideways. Doggone it. And here comes Earnhardt up beside me with that grin on his face because I'd killed the momentum on my car. So after the race, he walked up and he said, I'm sorry I had to bump you off four, but it's the only way I could win. And I went, you didn't touch me. I just lost control. He said, well, go check the back of your car. I went over and looked at the fuel cell. He had gotten up under the back, and he had so much ability to move you without really wrecking you. He allowed me to have second, by the way. But anyway, it lifted my car up, and I actually thought I had pinched it coming off the corner, but there was yellow markings on the front of that, down where the fuel cell is, almost halfway up it, where he had moved me over, but I never felt it. That's how good he was.
Pretty amazing. To be on the same racetrack as him had to be intimidating.
I loved it. Now, he didn't intimidate me. I loved it. And Chocolate can tell you, he was the...
It was back to the pack style racing. Gatorade Duels, what do you think we're going to see today?
Chocolate, what I saw, to be honest with you, was we had to readjust ourselves to the type of racing in big packs. And when they did try to do the two-car tandem, they got into trouble because they would touch a guy on the left rear corner if he had to go up to miss a car in front of him that had run into him. And it started and triggered a big wreck most of the time, and it even happened in practice. Tony Stewart talked about that on Tuesday night show. You know, he was there, and not being able to talk to the drivers like he did last year, they had 36 channels on their radio where they could talk to different drivers, and the driver would say, I've got to move up. We're coming up on traffic. They can't talk to each other anymore. So just being blind back there when you are pushing.
Right.
And there was some pushing in the corners. But when they move up, they're in trouble.
Well, last year, when we watched these guys on the racetrack, they would duck out, catch a little bit of air off the corner of the car, so they weren't dead nuts even. This year, it seems like if they even touch, not even, the car's gone.
Well, the biggest thing I'm trying to say is they had a spotter that both guys could hear.
Yep.
You're coming up on slower traffic, move up. Well, both of them heard it. They can move. Now you don't have that communication.
No communication.
And let's don't forget, Saturday night they had nothing to lose. The drivers are driving the cars, no points on the line, nothing. They don't have to go back to the shop and fix them like you did back in the day, buddy. But here's the deal. I had an opportunity to talk to Richard Childress last night. I think that they're liking what they're seeing. It's in the driver's hands, and the drivers have got to make some decisions whether they're going to get up there. I think we're going to be okay from here on out.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. Now, right after the 500's over, Chalk, you're going to be extremely busy back up at the museum, Richard Childress Museum. You're up there all the time. It's got to be a hot time for you guys there.
Well, especially for all your people. And when I say your people, Joe, I'm talking about the Canadians. We absolutely love them. The Canadians are here in force, and on the way back, they will stop at the Richard Childress Racing Museum. Stop by and check us out.
I was going to ask you, with all the new connections they have putting gas in, have you played with that a little bit? Because you're one of the all-time greats at getting the three-car in and out of the pits when it was a splash and go. I have watched these guys take off down pit road with the gas can hooked to the car.
Yeah. Buddy, I've been so fortunate all my life, and here's what I told Richard, kind of teased with me a little bit, and he says, you know, you want to go back and try this again? I said, hey, I had my fun. I want somebody else to be able to have the opportunity that I had. I loved it. When I got through with it, I was through with it. And, you know, I appreciate what they're doing.
And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joe.
I thought of you this morning, buddy, when I pulled in here. The car ahead of me, and I remember you telling me this, that it was you were in awe when you came into Daytona for the very first time. The lady that was ahead of me coming through the tunnel, she was excited, to say the least. She had it to the floor going into the tunnel. And I said to my wife, Sue, we got to hurry up because I want to see her catch air at the other end. She doesn't realize that that tunnel goes straight up and then down.
Well,
it was amazing.
Let me say this. You don't have to be a race car driver to get excited when you come through that tunnel. It's the same for the guys that work in the pits, the drivers, the owners. Everybody gets a little bit of excitement from the Daytona 500.
Listen, I know you guys have to run. I want to thank you so much for dropping by, buddy. And Chocolate, thanks so much. I know you're heading out. You got to get on the air. Trade Paint comes up.
Yeah, Buddy Baker's on the show today.
Oh, you're awesome.
And I tell you, we pulled all the stops out. We got the stars here together.
All three of us on there today.
Absolutely. Well, you got to tune in to Sirius NASCAR Radio, Channel 90. If you haven't got a Sirius satellite radio yet, you've got to get one. And tune into these guys each and every day. If you're a NASCAR fan, you have to have Sirius NASCAR Channel 90. You can hear Chalk and Rick mornings on Trade and Paint. The Morning Drive with Pete Pistone and Mike Bagley goes from 7 till 10. And, from 7 till 10, 10 till 11, you can pick up with Trade and Paint. Just amazing shows throughout the course of the day on Sirius XM Channel 90. You got to get that channel, especially today. Action here at Daytona, MRN Radio. You won't miss a lap if you've got a Sirius XM radio at all. It's going to be dynamite. Now, back to some of the different drivers that I spoke with in the garage yesterday, looking into what's happening today in the Gatorade Duels. And I did talk, how about we listen to this gentleman? He's the owner for the number 51 of Kurt Busch. I got James Finch yesterday. Have a listen to James. James, this is going to be one busy season for you. You got a brand new driver.
A real brand new. We're still on the honeymoon.
Thursday's big race. You guys have really got a good shot at qualifying real well for the 500.
Yeah, I hope. I think we got a shot at trying to win the 150 or, you know, get us a good spot. We're going to try and win, or we're in the race, and we come to race, and we're going to do whatever we can. We need a sponsor, and we need to race good.
That was an expensive shootout this year for you.
It was real expensive, but I was real proud the way that the team worked and the way Kurt drove, and it's just the way it turned out. But we were up there with a chance to win.
This is going to be an exciting 500, no doubt. Probably one of the more different-looking 500s than we've seen for a few years.
Hopefully, you know, I don't know. I guess after the 150s, it'll pretty much tell how the strategies are going to play in the 500 as far as the engine coolant and stuff like that.
James, how would someone, if they wanted to sponsor the 51 car, how do they go about that?
Just call Phoenix Racing. You know,
that's the easiest way to do it?
Yes, that's the easiest way. Or just grab somebody and say, hey, I got some money. will stop.
You can guarantee they'd stop. Kurt Busch having quite a speed week, showing lots of speed. James Finch and that whole team. We got to forget the word small team. These guys are big time. They're going somewhere. Watch for Kurt Busch not only to be strong here today in the Gatorade Duel, but you got to watch for him in the Daytona 500. He is going to be an amazing driver to watch on this racetrack. Quite a changed guy. You know what? We're going to slide out, take our first break of the day. When we come back, we're going to have lots more to talk about live from Daytona International Speedway. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, tell your friends we're live till noon today here on Racetime Radio. They can listen to us on their iPad, their iPhone, their computer, any old way. Just tune in. We'll be back here in just a minute, live from Daytona.
I'm John Roberts from Speed in the Hub. You're listening to Racetime Radio. Racetime Radio is powered by VP Racing Fuels, the world leader in racing fuel technology, and by K&K Insurance Canada, insuring the world's fun.
As a truck driver, to help keep me on the road longer, I've got 24 vitamins in my glove box I take twice a day, along with a potato and raw egg-based herbal tea. But for long engine life, all it takes is Shell Rotella T Triple Protection Engine Oil. In over 50 million miles of durability testing, it's demonstrated up to 22% less engine wear.
22% reduction in engine wear compared to iron wear in Shell Rimula Super SAE 15W40. Ask for Shell Rotella Heavy Duty Engine Oil at your local Speedco.
Since 1989, PRN Motorsport Magazine has been Canada's leading motorsport and performance source. And this year, we'll be even better. PRN, with expanded automotive performance coverage. Pick up the spring issue of PRN on newsstands in March. A racing school guide, plus an automotive parts guide. Can't wait till March? Visit prnmag.com/racetime and receive a free, no-obligation digital edition of PRN's 2012 Performance Buyer's Guide. From the track to the street, PRN delivers on newsstands, in your mailbox, and online at prnmag.com.
SiriusXM.com/NASCAR, the location to find.
Where to vote for your favorite drivers.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.,
Jeff Gordon,
Jimmy Johnson,
Tony Stewart.
The shows are on throughout the day on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Mojo here from Manifold Jet.
Jonathan Myers to my right, I bring Benjamin.
Race schedules, sound clips from your favorite drivers.
We're going to have some fun this year.
Check your flag right here.
You're going to walk before you run. We're going to get these boys.
Photos of NASCAR's best on and off the track and more.
SiriusXM.com/NASCAR.
Yeah!
If it happened on the track, you'll hear about it right here on Racetime Radio.
Look at tires down there. Three cars either running into the traffic in front of you. Big smooth.
Home of a hardcore race fan. Sirius XM 157 Sports Express.
And we're back here live at Daytona International Speedway. Thanks for tuning in today. Got Grant Slater back in that Racetime Radio studio pushing the buttons and firing us through the different equipment that brings it to you, race fans. So thanks, Grant. I know you're back there throwing another log on the fire. It's only about, maybe 80 degrees here at Daytona. It's a gorgeous day, and it's my pleasure to welcome to Racetime Radio Todd Morey. He is from down here. He's the announcer at... Well, you used to be at Atlanta. Are you still at Atlanta? Yeah, you still got that Atlanta shirt on.
That's right, still Atlanta. Atlanta Motor Speedway, Charlotte Motor Speedway, Volusia Speedway Park all this week. Actually, I missed a couple of days there. We went to Monster Jam, doing a little bit of that out in Tallahassee this past weekend. So running our mouth for a living, I guess.
Todd, it's been a busy speed week so far. What do you think?
It sure has. You know, I learned something that I thought this year we wouldn't see. And that's, you know, these guys are looser on the straightaway being pushed than they are even in the corners. It's kind of flip-flop since the last couple of years here. I had a chance to talk to Tony Stewart at Volusia, and he said that when he gets down on the corner, he'd rather be pushed all the way through the corner because the car is more in the racetrack in the corner. You know, you have the G-forces pushing the car down. It's in the racetrack in the corner. He said the worst place to be pushed is on the back straightaway, and we saw it this week. Brad Keselowski off the bumper of the 15 of Clint Bowyer. So it's happening.
Incredible. And, you know, the weather conditions have got to be playing havoc with these teams. We've got a warm day today. It's hot, humid, muggy, cloudy conditions. Looks like it's going to rain. I think Sue said there was a couple raindrops.
You can't use the R word now. Come on.
But you can still hear cars on the track, so it's got to be a good thing. But tensions have to be running high in these garages, getting ready to go for the Gatorade Duel. There's a lot of teams that aren't going to make it, and there's some that are just praying to God that they do. As Buddy Baker said here just a couple of minutes ago, it's going to set the tone for their whole season.
I know you think about, you know, the story of Kenny Wallace. He's been on Speed Channel all week, and the guy had his show there last night, and you pull for him because, you know, you see how hard these teams try. They want to make this race, and for many it's a financial concern. You know, you want that $270,000 in the back pocket, and if those teams make the race, those are the ones that may go for that halfway bonus as well.
That's
so
right.
You got a chance for a team to come out of here with close to $500,000 or not. Either way.
Big difference in the bank account.
Oh, absolutely.
I spoke with Kenny Wallace actually yesterday as he finished cup practice on his way to Nationwide. Got a quick clip. Here's Kenny.
Kenny, you've had an exciting speed week so far.
I've had the time of my life. I've been been down here. We left St. Louis January 31st with the dirt car. We won 4 out of 13. It's been awesome, and then I got the opportunity to race in the Daytona 500. I'm going to make the most out of it, and excited about the Nationwide race. You know, got the big documentary coming on tonight on Speed. It's going to show my life, what it's like for an independent team to go up against the big boys. I haven't seen it, but I know it's good.
How is that 09? Practice just over here at Daytona. How did it feel?
Not the 09 American Ethanol, Toyota Camry. Practice really well, but you know, it's all about Thursday, TikTok. You know, my heart goes pitter patter, and it's, you know, it reminds me of bump day in Indy, you know, where I'm not locked in. So Thursday evening, we'll know if I'm in the Daytona 500 or not. I've made 10 of them, I've tried 12, so I've missed two of them. I don't want to have that feeling ever again. I want to be the best, and I want nobody better than me.
You are going to be in that Daytona 500. I can feel it.
Thank you. All right, well, we're going to get digging. We got to go over to the Nationwide car and get things going. Thanks.
Pretty wild for Kenny Wallace. The emotions got to be flying. And, Todd, it was a great special. It did air last night on Speed. I believe it went on the air 3 times. And we're going to see it again, I can guarantee it, before the Daytona 500. Fans, if you get a chance, go to your Speed guide or go to your TV guide. Look for Speed and find that broadcast. You won't be disappointed. It is a true look inside Kenny Wallace's life and what it's like to try and qualify for the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. And it's a true account. You can see where he leaves his house and brings you right up to date here at Daytona. And I know, talking with Kenny yesterday, what he said to us just there and what he said to me after I shut the microphone off, he is in stitches for today. He knows he's got a fast enough car. He said, Joe, I wrecked this car. We're done. So I can't put it in harm's way in any way, shape, or form, even in the Gatorade race. He said, after I'm in, you can count on me pulling aside and getting out of the way, because if we wreck it, we're done. We haven't got a backup.
Yeah, Kenny's a smart guy, and we had a chance to talk to him over at Volusia. Of course, he was running the UMP Dirt Car Modified over there. He was very concerned about those points. He finished in the top five for the week, but he was pulling for that championship too. Kenny's been racing all week long. He wanted that Gator championship, but he's a smart guy. He's going to go out there and, as you mentioned, not put the car in harm's way. And he might be one of those teams when you think about RAB Racing, where that $200,000 bonus certainly could be something that team could use to push. They've opened that truck team. They've had the Nationwide team. I believe they have Travis Quapel in the truck here this week with the John West Townley issues. And their future, heard a rumor this morning about another driver possibly sliding in there for the remainder of the truck races until John West comes back. Not at liberty to talk about it, but they're working on things.
Yeah.
And that team could use that little $200,000 shot at the halfway point. Maybe Kenny's one of the guys that will jump in there and try and do that. I'll guarantee you this. My call is it'll be a two-car tango deal going to get that $200,000
yes.
deal, though.
Yeah,
I don't think it's
going to
come in pack racing.
It's going to be amazing to watch today. It's really going to be exciting. Look who we've got coming over here. We've got Bobby Labonte going to sit down with us for a minute. He's got his Coke with him. He's all set and ready to go. You've got your Coke, and I'm the bad guy. I've got Pepsi with me. But, Todd, it's going to be an exciting Gatorade duel here today. Bobby Labonte joins us now. Bobby, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Fantastic. Butterflies, or do you get those anymore here at Daytona?
I get them all the time because I think if you didn't have them, it really wouldn't – something's not right, you know what I mean? So, I'm looking forward to today. I mean, we're in the second race, and, we'll kind of watch the first race, see what happens. But, it's going to be exciting to see after Saturday night's race what everybody's going to do.
Pack-style racing is what we've got now. Last year it was two-car tango. All right, can you hook up with another guy? Can you make up time on that racetrack, or is it really not advisable to do?
Well, you know, what I saw the other night was, guys could hook up and go tandem racing for like two laps, and then they'd have to switch. But without the radio communication, that makes it hard. It's hard for them to get hooked up. But, you know, they would only go so far, and then they would, if they got unhooked, the pack would catch them so fast. So then it was blocking them or going around them or getting, people going around them. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that was happening. I think that it's better in some ways, obviously, but it's also, it's also more difficult in some other ways, too. So in saying all that, I think that the pack, I think that the tandem racing is still there to a certain extent, just like at the end of the race with Kyle and Tony Stewart. That was a tandem race. But until then, it was pack racing as well. So it's kind of got a little bit of both. I mean, so if you're going to mix it up a little bit, maybe that's the right package. Saturday night they just tore up a lot of race cars, and we'll see what happens today.
Yeah, tearing up race cars, that's unfortunate. I had a chance to talk to Tony Stewart. He mentioned that in the corners, the car is more in the racetrack, the car is more stable. He'd rather be pushed all the way through a corner than at all on the back straightaway. Do you have that same feeling?
Well, there is. I was actually watching some in-car camera yesterday, and the cars are really squatted a lot more in the corners, It depends on how you get pushed or how you push people. Last time here, it was actually your car was more out of control or squirrely down the straightaway. When it got to the corner, it actually got better. But if that guy pushing you was on your left rear, we've seen that happen all weekend. No different with those at the local track 10 miles from here. If you get hit in the left rear, you're going to get spun out. So, I mean, depends on how it is. If he'd have been spun out in the corner, he probably wouldn't have said the same thing. But I do agree with that. And there is some, for whatever reason, you wouldn't think being pushed to the corner is going to be better, but it actually is. So I agree.
Well, experience is going to pay dividends here today at Daytona International Speedway. And, Bobby, I know you've got the experience to win here. You've done it before. It's going to be exciting today. You roll off row 10, 19th, and you're going to be in the field for the Daytona 500 when that race goes green. This is going to be a lot of fun, and good luck today.
It's going to be great two races today, so they're always exciting, and looking forward to it. Thanks, guys.
You want to believe it. That's Bobby Labonte in the 47, the Kroger Toyota. Todd, this is going to be a wild race here today.
Absolutely it is. And one question, if we get another driver to sit down with us, one question I'd like to jump on is the, does it matter who's pushing you? Because maybe a certain driver can push down the straightaway effectively. I like to talk to a few drivers about that to see if that's certainly a possibility.
It is going to be interesting. I know I've got lots more clips from those different Cup guys. We're going to hear from Trevor Bayne. I've got a bunch more racked, but let's switch gears just for a second. We got Dominic's dropped in here from Three Rivers, Quebec, NASCAR Canadian Tire Series country up there. Dominic, What do you think? Speed Weeks is here, and we're looking at the Gatorade Duels.
Yeah, it was a special shootout last Saturday because we did see a lot of bent sheet metal. However, I think that slowly but surely the crew chiefs and the drivers are learning how to deal with the new rules. Mm-hmm. And the duels will be a good indication. The good thing is that, you know, it's a little warm, racing in the day. That might look a lot like the conditions we'll get in Daytona 500 next Sunday.
You know, you look at these race fans, and every time here at Daytona, they're very passionate race fans. You can't find more passionate race fans than in Three Rivers, Quebec. You've got yourself a great situation up there. How's the race looking for 2012?
It's looking very well. We have just about the same series as we had last year. We took away the Trans Am series and the Spec Racers, and we're bringing in the Canadian Supercar series. So in the heydays of Trois-Rivières, when it started, you know, you had the Porsches and the Corvettes and the Mustangs battling out on the city streets. We were the first street track in North America.
Mm.
Urban street track. And so what we're bringing in the Canadian Supercar Series, what we want to do is bring back some of that mystique, because they're cars that make people dream day in and day out. Oh, I'd love to drive a Mustang. I'd love to drive a Porsche. Well, now you see them on the track. They battle it out. That gives a good show. Of course, the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series gave an awesome show with Andrew Ranger, who will be back for the entire season.
Yeah, that's big news.
That's big, big news for us. It helps a lot with ticket sales. The LP Dumoulin, who was Rookie of the Year, I'm here and should be able to do the entire season.
Amazing.
That means he'll be there with his brother, a few more Quebec drivers, and then they battle it out against the best in the country, and actually some of the U.S. guys even come down for that. And, of course, we'll have our old stalwarts. The Indy Lights series will be there. We're a single-seater track, so we'll have the Indy Lights, the Star Mazda series, and a few grassroots like Canadian Touring Car Championship. We're pretty excited. We don't have a cup, we don't have a national, we don't have an enormous marquee event. However, we do have good support races. You'll get 12 races over the course of 3 days, which is pretty good. And a night race on a street course, if you can imagine, on the Friday night. People can come in for free, watch it. I mean, it's a good show.
Been there, seen it. Amazing race, Todd.
And Dominic, my question for you is, you talk about Andrew Ranger. Now, you mentioned he's going to be back with you guys as well.
Yep.
Do you look at it as a positive as he continues to move in the NASCAR ranks and do more and more and more with Nationwide Series? Do you look at that as a positive for what you guys do in Canada, that he's going to pull more fans to your facilities?
Absolutely. The fact that Daniel is getting exposure on the big time, as you mentioned, the Nationwide Series, he's had the podium finishes in Montreal, shows our people and the people that come to our race that we got big time guys. We had Villeneuve a few years ago. He might be back this year. Who knows? We had Ranger. We had the Dumoulins, and Louis-Philippe won the Rookie of the Year. So these guys are it. And we always have been a track ever since Gilles Villeneuve
who did he beat? He beat Alex Tagliani.
But Gilles did beat a lot of the Formula One drivers that we had, like Patrick Depailler, like Patrick Tambay. And by beating him, he showed to the world that our guys can do it. And that's where we're always positioning ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're trying to do with the young up-and-coming drivers. Come at our track. The track itself is a great opponent. And you'll have, good adversaries on the track, and it might be a good way to be noticed, like it was the case for Andrew Ranger, who's, like you said, more and more racing the Nationwide Series and the ARCA Series.
Did a cup start last year.
Yep.
Yeah, got his first cup start. You're going to see him again, I wouldn't doubt, again in 2012. Probably do another cup start, definitely in the Nationwide car for GCMI. And mm-hmm. that's Steve Meehan's team.
Yep.
They've already announced it. David Reagan in the Nationwide car today. Tomorrow.
James Hunt.
That's
the name
Saturday.
I was looking for.
James Hunt.
James Hunt.
Thank you.
You guys are on 15 or 20 second delay here.
Well, we're Canadian.
That's the thing with live radio.
It's the heat, right?
Yeah.
It's what
it gets
is.
To us.
Yeah, we're used to being like -2 right now. But David Reagan is going to be in that Nationwide car for Steve come Saturday. And then Steve already announced you're going to see Andrew Ranger in some Nationwide races this year in that number 27. It's going to be exciting to see. I'll tell you, Todd, from being at Three Rivers, I've been to both the Nationwide race in Montreal I've been to Three Rivers, seen the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series, the Tour Car Series, the Indy Lights, and the excitement at both those racetracks, you wouldn't know which one you were at if you stopped in. It's electric. Dynamite racing, and I can't wait to get back there again this year.
The good thing is that the entire town gets behind it. So, I mean, Joe can tell you how downtown gets electrified during the entire week. We have a fireworks display. I just bought it last week. I mean, spent $75,000 of bombs. Makes for a pretty good show. We launch it from a barge in the middle of the St. Lawrence.
Yeah.
This year, what we're doing is that we got a special program for clubs. If you got people on the air that I want to do it, gp3r.com, make sure you contact me directly. Any club, either be at the Porsche Club, a Mustang Club, Viper Club. We got the Ferrari Club in Montreal who confirmed they were coming. We have there's a mini casino on site. So we have a special parking.
Mm-hmm.
We park them there in a show and shine formula. Saturday at the end of the day, after the NASCAR Canadian Tire qualifying, put him on the track, have him do a couple of laps, of course, pace laps. Then we bring him down in a parade, and the entire downtown becomes an exhibition. And all the volunteers that work the race vote for people, and one Dodge, one GM, one Ford, and then one of
whatever
imports.
Yeah,
the best in show will get tickets in our presidential skybox.
Yeah, perfect.
So the guys,
wow, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah
sign me
deal.
Up.
That's
I'm ready.
Good deal. Well, don't worry.
Bring your car.
we're going to be there this year. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great race. It's going to be a great race weekend. Hopefully, it doesn't do what it did last year. Although it added a beautiful element to the actual race itself. It rained like you wouldn't believe just before the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series race. You may have seen it on TSN. No windshield wipers on half the cars. The other half had windshield wipers but needed defoggers. It was a true element race. And Robin Buck went to victory lane. It was a wild day. It was a wild event. And right after the race stopped, the rain went away. And away.
Well, perfect timing.
It was like we ordered it just for the show.
Yeah, amazing. I see another good friend of ours popping in. He's going to grab a headset and a microphone. We've got Brad Moran, the director of the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series. As we're talking about NASCAR and we're talking about Canada and that Three Rivers race, Brad Moran walks by. Brad, how you doing?
Very good, Joe. How about yourself?
Good, good, good. You've never met Todd Morey. That's Todd.
We've actually talked on the phone, but we've never met in person, so now we
there
have.
There you go.
There you go.
We're just talking about the Three Rivers race. We've got Dominic here and reliving what the race was this past season with the rain coming down and half the cars with wipers and half of them without. What do you think? Is that something that you mandate as a rule? You've got to have a wiper when we go to do a race like that? Or do you leave it up to the team?
What we do is we mandate rain tires. We'll tell them if the track's going to be a wet condition and it's mandatory they have a set of rain tires. We also mandate that they have a safety light, red light in the center of the car that meets our approval. Other than that, it's all optional whether they can tape off their ductworks. Windshield wipers are optional. Some guys run Rain-X, but a lot of guys went to school at Trois-Rivières last year, and I'm sure they're coming back more prepared.
Yeah, I guess so.
That was my question, Brad. Is the Rain-X deal? Is there anything they can't put on their windshield? I mean, if they come up with some sort of mixture that'll just wick away, or you pretty much figure this year wipers are going to be the deal, and that's it.
No, I mean, if they get creative, unless we feel there's some reason why they couldn't use it, and I really wouldn't see that being a problem, that it would be all power to them. If they can find a product that works good, we don't tell them, Rain-X or water repellent or dish soap or, I mean, you know, whatever they can come up with, as long as it goes on the windshield, not the tires, we're okay with it.
Well, yeah, don't mess with the tires.
last year, they almost needed water wings. When they got out of the car, and then boom, the skies cleared right off. You couldn't win for losing. But you know what it did? It added an element to a race that race fans probably won't have seen or may never see again. You never know with the conditions, because it was torrential downpours. But everybody, including the teams, the officials, the facility, everything went according to schedule, just the way it was supposed to, and it really added a different dimension to the race. Look, Robin Buck winning that race, it could have been a number of guys. The best race for Derek White, which we're going to see here in a truck later, Derek had the ride of his life that day.
Yeah, he did. And, I mean, we've always said we run in the rain at road courses. And, you know, in the five-year series history, we really haven't had to start. We've, you know, maybe been on the track under wet conditions for a small period of time. But we were prepared. We let the teams know that it's probably going to go that way. Obviously, it's a temporary road course. There's really no tomorrow. The track actually got rid of the water very well, which helped us. There was really no puddling. That would have created a slowdown and a few more challenges for us for the day. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen, and the guys just did an awesome job. And the fans were, they were on their feet, umbrellas and all. And what a deal to watch.
You got to love those Quebec fans. They always turn on big time.
I'll tell you what, guys. I grew up in upstate New York, been to Canada a few times. And the Canadian fans, there's something about them. I mean, Super Dirt Week Syracuse.
Yeah.
You know who the Canadian fans are. They make themselves known. And here's the funny thing is you know, I'm not bilingual, but right. I know bonjour. You say bonjour, that whole, if you're talking to people on top of a camper, hey, bonjour, the whole place goes, bonjour. You know, the beers are in the air, and it's like, holy cow, these guys are on cloud nine all week long. It's the Canadian fans are unbelievable.
Yeah, it's going to be a dynamite year. Brad, any updates with respect to the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series? I know you've been busy down here at Daytona, home base for you here. What's happening? Any news you can share with us?
No, not too much. I mean, I just bumped into Andrew there in the Nationwide Garage, and he's just really excited to come back and put another assault on everybody in our series. So no, he's pretty excited about coming back, and talking with Derek White and Cote's working away there, and they've got more stuff, it sounds like, coming out of Quebec. So I mean, this the Quebec province certainly is growing in our series.
Looking out at the short track, I was out at New Smyrna Speedway, kept one eye on Noel Dowler, the rookie of the year. No, he wasn't the rookie of the year, but was contending for rookie of the year in the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series this past season. He's out there running a late model. Man, he looks like a seasoned veteran out there, as opposed to a young driver. And, you know, it's a testament to the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series in the way things are done. You should see him out there. He's doing a fantastic job.
Yeah, well, I was planning on going out there last night, and, of course, the rain ended that. But I'll be out there tonight, and I'm looking forward to seeing him. And, I mean, he just kept developing throughout the year and learning. And, I mean, the guys that are coming into our series that are young, they certainly learn fast. You know, if you're out there with those old, you know, those veterans that are at their top of their game, you know, the Steckleys, Dillies, Mixies, it goes on. And mm-hmm. You're going to learn fast, and that seems to be the trend, what's happening with the new guys that are joining our series.
Well, you're teaching them. When they get here to Daytona, they're prepared, and that's the whole idea of that series.
Brad, I wanted to hear your thoughts on the Battle of the Beach that's coming in next year, because the champion of your series will now be able to come and race on the Daytona Super Speedway. It will be a temporary short track, but what does it do for the racers to give them that incentive to come in the series, win the deal, and then race Daytona during speed weeks?
Well, I mean, you know, our champions now, I mean, Joe would have talked to them all, and boy, when you win a NASCAR champion, it doesn't matter what level it is. They really treat you right. I mean, you're a real busy guy for the next few months. Adding this event just makes it that much more interesting. I mean, 0.4 flat mile. I mean, I say it's going to look good for our Canadian boys if they can put together a ride in whatever series they choose. So I think they'll be excited about it. I think it'll be another cool thing that they'll do. We almost won the last race at Irwindale, it looks like.
Yeah.
With DJ coming in second. So we'll just keep going for it until we grab one of them.
And Brad, a question for you. We've heard compared this comparison a few times. When the folks here at Daytona mentioned we're going to do this deal on the back straight away, the two dark days, we're going to race with our Canadian Tire Series champion, the Invitational deal. I've heard it compared to the Nationwide Series going from Lucas Oil Raceway over to the big track. The revenue difference is going to be huge. You can pull a sponsor, a big sponsor, to go to the Brickyard. When you take one of these regional touring series drivers and you come to Daytona International Speedway, it's almost like a funnel for revenue for these teams. We're going to Daytona. These companies are ready to write a bigger check.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that can certainly help our teams out. It's a great carrot for the teams, and it will certainly help them be able to try to find a little more money, and I believe it will be easier to get. I think it'll be a big deal. I think all these series coming to Daytona at the same time, I mean, right, just alone, we have over 30 Canadian competitors competing in speed weeks, either on dirt or New Smyrna or the big speedway. So, I mean, that number could just double, and then you take that with all the other touring series in NASCAR. It's going to generate a lot of money for, you know, for this community as well, and the hotels are working with everybody with some great deals, and it's just going to make speed weeks, you know, just that much more exciting, and you know, like you're saying, on the days that are quiet, the Monday, Tuesday, great time to do it.
I can't wait. Tickets, I hope, go on sale soon so that we can fill that back stretch. That would be kind of cool.
And they're already on sale for the Grand Prix Trois Rivières.
Absolutely. And how do they get tickets, Dominic?
Just go to the website, gp3r.com. The phone numbers are on there. You can call 819-380-9797, and we'll take care of you over there.
Thanks so much for that. I really do appreciate it. And thanks for stopping by here. Great to see you down here in the beautiful sunshine. Can't wait for Three Rivers to come up. And fans, get those tickets. Get to the website.
All the prices have come down this year. Every single grandstand ticket is $119 for an entire weekend. If you want to just come and walk about, general admission, $49 for the whole weekend.
You can't beat that. I'm coming back to get my $100 back out of your little casino. It sucked it in. Brad, you know what? It's going to be a dynamite season. I know we still got lots of time this week. There's still going to be more updates coming out of you. I'm going to keep squeezing until I get them.
Yeah, oh yeah, I think you know, things just keep happening. So we'll
keep informed. There's something going on behind those Oakleys there.
Yeah, there is. There's lots happening back in there. You know what, fans? We've got to step out, take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Sprint Cup. We'll talk about the Nationwide, the Truck Series. We'll even hear from some of the short track racers at New Smyrna Speedway. We've got the winners for you from the last race out. Last night got rained out. We'll go back one day, and that means my stuff is fresh. You'll hear it coming up here on Racetime Radio. We will be back. Seen Ron Fellows. He's still excited to get hooked up with you.
Yeah, he always enjoys running with us, and we always enjoy having Ron. He's been a great family friend and a good big assistance to us on our road course stuff that we do at JRM. So I'm excited to be able to continue that program with him.
You think that beard's itchy now? Wait till you put your helmet on.
It doesn't itch.
Hot sun, make me sweat. Gator's getting close, hasn't got me yet.
Truckers, you're expected to go the distance every day, and you should expect the same from your engine oil. That's why Shell is now offering the Shell Rotella Lubrication Limited Warranty for heavy-duty diesel engines, covering up to 10 years, 500,000 miles. This is protection that goes the distance, just what you expect from Shell Rotella. Get your warranty free with purchase of an eligible Shell Rotella engine oil. Visit Rotella.com to see if you qualify and for complete details. Some conditions apply.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90, takes you inside the sport like no one else.
We just raced really hard, and I think the fans enjoyed it.
Kyle Busch, Tony get to the Kyle!
Biggest names in NASCAR.
Tony Stewart.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Jeff Gordon.
Jimmy Johnson.
Earl Edwards.
Dan Kilpatrick on your home for NASCAR.
All season long.
Very nice job.
Good for the fans.
We're going to have a wild finish here.
I'm going to fight all the way to the end.
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
This is what racing's all about.
It's time for the Iron Man Minute with Gary Elliott.
All clear. Good job.
Good job, pal.
Tonight's tip is on oil changes. Most fans know that we change our engine oil every 5,000 kilometers. Race car drivers sometimes actually get into a bad habit of changing their oil not enough. I think it's really important, even if you don't have an oil sponsor, to keep that engine oil clean. You have to remember that we run huge carburetors on our engines. And a lot of that fuel goes down into the oil, and it contaminates the oil faster than anything else. We know the dirt in an engine is hard on bearings and the internal parts of the engine, but also gasoline contaminates oil a lot, and you need to change it fairly frequently. If you change your oil filter every 3 weeks or every 150 laps, whatever you choose to do, I think your engine will last a lot longer. Change the filter in between to keep that filter clean. The other thing with grease, make sure your front end parts are greased. Ball joints should be greased, rack, your steering box, drive shaft, and your control arms. Keep them greased, because if they're greased, they'll always They'll work better. They'll do what they're supposed to do when they're lubed. And that's tonight's tip.
That's the Iron Man Minute with Gary Elliott. Brought to you by Quaker State.
Tonight's Race Time Radio is brought to you by PRN Motorsports Magazine, on newsstands now. And by Spira Fire Protection, protecting lives and property since 1972.
This weekend on Sirius XM 157 Sports Express.
Drivers, start your engines.
It's Race Time Radio. Catch Smokin' Joe Chisholm live from the World Center of Speed, Daytona Beach, this Saturday, February 25th from 10 till noon. Race Time Radio, presented by Shell Rotella, with Smokin' Joe Chisholm keeping you up to date. Live from Daytona, Sirius XM 157 Sports Express. As a public service, Race Time Radio salutes the folks back home.
Warm thoughts. Warm thoughts.
What?
It's a matter of mind over matter. See, I want to think real warm thoughts.
Now, live from Daytona Beach, it's Race Time Radio. Presented by Shell Rotella, heavy duty diesel engine oil. And by Sirius XM 157 Sports Express. And now, live from Daytona Beach, the speed capital of the world, it's Race Time Radio. And your host, Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Okay, we're just going to call you Make It Eight Bobby from now on. Bobby Gerhart, congratulations. What a Cinderella story this year at Daytona.
Well, we had to certainly work for that. You know, getting behind from yesterday, you know, the events of yesterday, and, you know, just keeping everybody's head on straight was a tough job. You know, of course, after happy hour this morning, I knew we had a really good car. We just had to take a couple gambles and put ourselves, lay all the cards in the table and take it all. And if it comes up, you're at your 20th, you're 20th. But we certainly made a lot of it happen, and then it just got to a point where I wasn't going to give up nothing in that race. I didn't care if it was a spot.
Yeah.
And as it came, and guys tried it, and I just inched my way up into the top 10. Next thing you know, I'm counting, and we're 7th and 6th, and I saw one run out of fuel. But by that time, my earplugs were out, so I wasn't really hearing much of anything. But I knew we were in good shape. I knew the mileage we were getting, and I could glance over and see how many laps that we run on the green. That was a long run, 50 laps maybe, so, you know.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen one that long in a race here at Daytona.
Yeah, I think I might have been the longest one I've ever been. I'm going to wear an old guy's ass out, I can tell you.
Billy and the guys did a tremendous job. How did you keep them guys calm, focused, and really, I guess it's the veteran in you and the team coming out?
Well, certainly. Listen, when you surround yourself by a group of anybody, they're going to react to the leader. There's no question. And listen, it was devastating for me. A very emotional day yesterday. It's very special to come here and win a pole, because it really exemplifies an effort, and you know, it puts an exclamation point on a tremendous amount of work for a lot of people. And a lot of people take a lot of credit, a lot of pride in that. And I was really, really happy to see that happen. And you know, to have it come apart the way it did. And, you know, no discredit to ARCA. I think there's some other things we need to look at there on how that whole thing happened. These engines are prone to do that a little bit. And I can't put an exclamation point on the answer that I got. I understand that they got to do what they got to do, but these engines get a real hard workout.
Yeah.
And we're running on unleaded fuel, and if they lose a valve seal, and they lost a valve seal, I mean, we're not running a lot of tremendous amount of spring pressure. How else are you going to make a little 380 horsepower motor run? You know.
Exactly.
So, but anyway, here we are, and I'm just glad to be here.
You got the trophy. Lucas Oil has been well represented again. Speed Weeks is truly now kicked off. Eight-time. Look at that, Bobby.
Now, I just can't believe it happened. I will wake up 6 months from now and not believe that corner happened. But, you know, looking back on it, we talk about it all the time, and it almost came second nature to just not sit there and ride, especially when I was protecting nothing, given the fact there was nobody on the outside. I had a great push from the kid behind me, and we just set her up there and – picked my way through it, and that was that.
Frank Kimmel may have 9 championships, but, man, I bet he'd trade all of them for one of those Daytona wins that you got.
Maybe we could talk and trade one.
Congratulations, Bobby. Incredible.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone, to Daytona International Speedway and Racetime Radio. I'm here in the fan zone atop of the fan deck. I'm joined with Todd Morey. Todd, quite a speed week so far. I know you've been busy over at the dirt track. I can see the clay on your feet. Action out there is second to none, eh?
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, my feet, I've got these Nike shocks on, and they are covered in Volusia Speedway clay. We had a deluge last night, as everyone did. We got rained out, and I had to go return my radio to the radio booth, and it's on the other side, so
yeah.
I had to walk through the slop. But the track has been so fast out there.
Yeah.
The moisture has been ran in very well. The track crew, Gary Risch and crew, and Tom Deary with the Dirt Car organization, they have done a great job on that racetrack. I've never seen that racetrack that smooth and that fast in all the years that I've been going to Speed Weeks. Very, very impressive.
Yeah, I spoke with Steve Arpin the other night when I was out doing some coverage at the dirt track, and Steve Arpin said, wow, man, is this track fast. He was driving David Stremme's dirt car, and they had a decent night.
Yeah, yeah, not too bad. And, you know, that's kind of a fun deal for them, shake down that 35 car and have some fun with it. Tonight, out there at Volusia, we have the Super Dirt Car Big Block Modifieds from the Northeast,
yeah,
which
features.
which also run in Canada as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Canadian swing up there. And, of course, the World of Outlaw late models will be in the house. And then tomorrow, tonight everything starts about 6 o'clock. Tomorrow will be a doubleheader.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have racing starting at 12 o'clock tomorrow. And a full racing program up through 5:30 and do it all over again to make up for last night. So it's going to be a big 3 days.
Yeah, lots of racing action still to come. See Daniel Norwood there, executive producer for Sirius NASCAR Radio, Dynamite Channel.
Yep.
You got to tune to Sirius 90 all the time, I can
well
imagine.
Sure, well, and I do as we go track to track. And you can't, you know, it's hard for me to have a terrestrial radio
right.
because we travel so much. And I've got the one. It's a Sirius Sportster, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
I can rewind and fast forward. And,
yeah, that's cool.
You know,
that's a cool option.
If I miss an interview, I can click one button back. It goes right back to the start of that interview. I can hear it all over again. And you know, kind of a neat deal. I like it. It's
yeah,
great.
You want to believe it. It starts out with trade and paint in the morning.
Right.
Moves on to, morning drive.
Morning drive
with
yeah.
Pete Pistone and Mike Bagley. Then moves on to trade and paint. That's probably what the guys are doing right now. Rick Benjamin, usually coupled in with Chocolate Myers, but today, if you tune to Sirius 90 after we're done, you're going to be able to listen to a 3-shot because I believe Chocolate Myers is with those two guys right now. And then the afternoon comes along. You got Angie and Dave.
Yeah. Well, that's a pair made in heaven, isn't it? Wow.
Dave Moody, the godfather.
That's right.
NASCAR racing.
SiriusXM Speedway.
Always great to hear him. He's got great website as well.
Yep. And Claire B. Lang, she caps off the day. Boy, that lady does a lot of stuff. She's everywhere.
Does. She is everywhere here at the racetrack. Spoke with Claire the other day with her at Media Day. We had a lot of fun. And like you say, she just works herself right to the bone and comes up with some great information for race fans.
Absolutely. And you know, and it's almost like that later show with Claire, she always has her interesting twist on it. She, you know, she's a lady. She gets up close to the driver. She can talk a different language, and she has an interesting twist in everything. I love hearing Claire's show and how she brings it across to the race fans, and she'll go to car chiefs, and then she'll go to crew members, and she'll talk to everybody.
Yep.
She's nonstop.
Yeah, and she gets you the full picture of what's taking place in that moment and in that time.
Absolutely.
And one of her features is always Jack's Garage.
That's right.
To hear
right.
Jack Roush on there, candidly speaking with Claire B., good trust relationship there, and the information is fantastic to listen to.
You know you're doing well in the sport when you've got Jack Roush's trust.
That's for sure. Absolutely. One of the guys that really has a lot of trust in Jack Roush has got to be last year's Daytona 500 winner. Now, I know he drives for the Wood Brothers, but he's got a Roush engine underneath that hood. I'm speaking about Trevor Bayne, of course. Caught up with Trevor yesterday. He was second fast on the speed charts. Here's Trevor Bayne. Second quick out there in this practice. Man, that's good stuff.
Yeah, it's not too bad. I feel like our car's pretty good out here. We were hooked up with a couple other Fords out there and made it work good, and I'm excited about our car. I think we qualified decent being ninth, and now we're second in this practice. Doesn't pay anything for either one of those, though. So we got to make it through the duel, get to the 500, have the car in one piece, and make it to the end.
Just spoke with Michael McDowell, good friend of yours. You guys doing a little playing on that racetrack. You're pushing him around.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in the motorhome earlier this week that I'd push him a little bit if I had the chance to and see how his car was. And I feel like it was fast. You know, they switched over to Fords this year, and they were actually really good. I mean, he's seventh on the board there after that little hookup deal. So I think he's going to have a good time here in the duel.
You're going to roll off fifth in duel number one. Does it feel different this year, Trev, than it did last year?
Not too much. You know, actually, I'm trying to go back to that same mindset. It's a little bit more pressure, but other than that, I feel like we're ready to go again.
We're back here on Racetime Radio, just talking to a fan up here on the fan deck. Lots of fans up here. Why don't you come on up onto the fan deck and join Todd and I. We're up here. The sun is going in and out, so it's not really cooking. Well, at least we're lucky. We are under the tent here. We're in booth number two.
Well, as I walked in, it's actually really nice. A little bit of a breeze. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not baked people out here in shorts, T-shirts. I mean, it is actually a beautiful day here. Now, I know some of the drivers practicing out there would like to see that wind die down so they can get some accurate numbers.
Yeah.
But for a fan, beautiful, perfect day in Daytona. Absolutely.
Yeah, it absolutely is. Now, one of the guys that was out drafting on the racetrack with Trevor Bayne yesterday, and that really did look great, had a real fast time, shot him right up in the charts, was Michael McDowell. Got a quick word with Michael yesterday. Here he is.
Yeah, it's good. You know, we got to work in the draft there a little bit, and I got the 98 K-Love radio car running pretty good. My buddy Trevor Bayne, he's pushed me around there for a little while, so we got a good lap, and the car's driving pretty good. You know, it's just a matter of getting in the pack and having a good car to work with, and you know, it's kind of a hybrid of pack and tandem drafting, you know, so just got to be in the pack at the end, ready to tandem at the end, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the two-car tango looks a little more dangerous this year, and why is that, Michael?
Well, you just don't have as much rear spoiler, you know, and so the cars are just going faster, obviously, and a little bit less control as well, so, you know, for us, it's just a matter of hanging on to it for a couple laps. At least you don't have to do it for all of them.
Gatorade duel time. What do you think for the Gatorade duels?
We just got to have luck on our side and just play it smart, put ourselves in the position to have a shot at locking ourselves in. And, you know, obviously there's a lot of pressure, but when you get out on the racetrack, you just give it everything you got and see what happens.
I think it's your turn, bud.
All right, thanks.
It would be great to see Michael McDowell have a great run here today in the Gatorade duels and then make it into the Daytona 500. You know, he's had a rough ride in those Sprint Cup rides when he's been out there, and it would be sure great to see Michael McDowell get out there and really have a good run.
And Joe, we say that so many times about so many drivers because there's so many good stories in the garage. There's so many feel-good stories, guys that have clawed and pulled their way through. Think about, I saw a piece on Brad Keselowski the other day.
Yeah.
A kid that really, he was the last one to slide through to get a big ride here recently and has done very well with it. But you hope that door continues to open. You hope these drivers, I mean, of course, last year the story was Trevor Bayne.
Right,
but,
absolutely.
But there's going to be that story this year. And I take that back. Maybe the story wasn't Trevor Bayne in the dual 150s. You think about Brad Keselowski pushing Brian Keselowski into the Daytona 500.
That was
huge.
It was.
And then he got to the Daytona 500. And, of course, it was Trevor Bayne. But the Keselowski family, they needed that paycheck. They had to have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the kinds of teams you look at as a great story, something that makes Daytona special. You don't get those stories every week. Sometimes they crop up, but Daytona has a special twist every time.
It does. Absolutely agreed. What's really going to pay dividends here today at Daytona has got to be experience. And Front Row Joe Nemechek has tons of experience. They call him Front Row Joe because he usually ends up on the pole here at Daytona. Now, he didn't in qualifying the other day, but you can count on Joe Nemechek to have a great day. Spoke with him yesterday after final practice. Here he is.
Joe, another Daytona, another Speed Weeks. How's things going for you?
Well, I wish we were locked in the show, but just trying to make these AMFMEnergy.com Toyotas drive good. Trying to make them where they're going to drive good in the 150s. We got to race our way in, both myself and Bill Elliott, and we're going to do our best to do that.
You know, I think back to last year watching you and Kevin on this racetrack, and you guys drafted just
fantastic. You were able to make moves when you wanted to make moves. You think it's going to be as easy as that this year, or is it a totally different ballgame?
It's a whole new set of rules now. It seems like the two-car pushing isn't working as good, and it's got to be on your toes. I mean, it's a whole different deal. That spoiler cut off the back, it's making these cars not drive very good, so I think handling's going to play into the races this week.
Experience always pays big dividends, and you've got lots of it here.
I just hope it pays off.
And, you know, Joe Nemechek is one of those guys that you got to watch here in the race today. It's going to be exciting. Him and Bill Elliott teamed up. Man, there's two crafty veterans for you.
You know, it's interesting. As you looked at things last year, and I believe it was Kevin Conway that was teamed up with Joe Nemechek, you bring Bill Elliott in, and taking nothing away from Kevin Conway, because him and Nemechek hooked up, they actually did very well.
Mm-hmm.
But now you got Bill Elliott.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I mean, these guys, two veterans, know how to drive, two well-prepared Toyotas that could absolutely get themselves locked in with no issue whatsoever. I mean, there may not be a whole lot on the quarter panels, the AM/FM Energy, you know, folks, and they do what they can.
Yep.
And they need some more sponsorship for sure, but these are two veterans, and when you put them behind the wheel of anything, anything can happen.
I like their chances of qualifying here today at Daytona. The next person we're going to hear from, you know, is going to be in the Great American Race come Sunday. He's also going to have a pretty good day here in the Gatorade Duels. Talking about Tony Stewart, spoke with him just yesterday. Here's Smoke.
Yeah, it's that time again, so I'm excited about it. It's going to be interesting to see guys that didn't get the chance to run the shootout and see, you know, how their cars drive in these big packs now. So, you know, we just keep digging away and see what we can get out of it.
Yeah, just another inch there on Saturday night, you would have had another Budweiser shootout.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of cars got tore up in that race, and we were one that stayed pretty much unscathed through the whole day. So, and considering we'd had a crash the day before, I was pretty impressed with our guys and how good a job they did of getting our Office Depot Mobile One Chevy back to in the shape that it was in to be that fast.
You got to watch for Smoke today, Todd. He is focused. He only lost that shootout just by, I don't know, an Oreo cookie.
Silky segue there.
maybe even a Ritz cracker. I don't know.
I hear you. You get a percentage of that sponsor plug or what?
No. But Smoke will love it. I know that.
I hear you.
And he's listening. I know he is. When we take a look at the Daytona 500 and what it means to win the Daytona 500, you know, you and I will never know what it's like because we don't drive one of these cars. But to really get a true sense of what it feels like to win the Daytona 500, I guess there's no real better person to talk to than somebody that has done it, and that's Dale Earnhardt Jr. Have a listen to this, and I got to thank Sirius NASCAR Radio for lending me this and allowing me to play it to you, the race fans of Racetime Radio. Here's Dale Earnhardt Jr. talking about what it's like to win the Great American Race.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I had no idea what winning that race would feel like till I won it. I didn't know what to compare that to, or had no comparison really that I, you know, when you win that race, it's really hard to explain. You know, everything that you, it's just really, really hard to explain, but everything that you ever, all the things that you want out of life and all the pressures that you put on yourself or you feel from other people, all the things you want to accomplish, all the, you know, everybody sort of has this mountain in front of them that they put in front of themselves that they want to climb. For that, you know, for a moment or for a day, you're at the top of that mountain, you know, and nothing matters. You know, all your wants and all your needs and all the problems you have or little petty things that bother you or everything goes away. And you just feel like you've realized your full potential. Everything is sort of just maxed out for the day. All your, you know, all the things that you wanted to achieve. You still haven't, you know, obviously you set a lot of goals for yourself, and that's just one of the goals, but just for a moment, just for that one day, man, whether it be that, you know, 30 minutes or an hour after that race, as soon as you cross the finish line, you feel like it can't get any better than this. You know, it's a pretty incredible emotion. And, you know, I feel so lucky to have had that opportunity to experience it. It's just such a special, special moment. Every time I see a replay of me and my crew celebrating in the, you know, below the flag stand, you know, it all comes back so clearly, and you, I just continue. Every time I see that, I just think about how I just feel so fortunate to have won that race. Because, like I said, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, it's, you know, some of the greatest drivers come through this sport and don't win it. You know, just doesn't seem right, but only certain ones get that opportunity.
Man, it doesn't get any deeper than that, does it?
Wow.
That's true.
Holy cow. Man, I forgot I forgot we're on the radio. I'm just listening. You know, I got this in my ear, and I'm thinking, man, this is an intense interview. I've never heard him like that before.
Me neither,
that's
actually.
Fantastic.
On Media Day, there was Claire B., myself, and Woody from MRN Radio doing radio interviews only down at the one end of the red carpet-style Media Day. And I'll tell you, the different drivers that we spoke with and had a chance to speak to, and Dale Jr. was one of them, they had all the time in the world for us on Media Day. They had genuine answers. They were genuine people. It wasn't a rushed, preconceived, pre-thought-up answer-type session. It was very relaxed, very calm, and that was tremendous to be a part of. The stars that we look at in these race cars, on this racetrack, whether it's today, the nationwide race on Saturday, the truck race on Friday night, they've all got a passion for racing. They love it. It's not just a job to them. It's not just a way of making, you know, money that, you know, they can go do what they want with. They got a true love for this game. And if they didn't get paid a cent, they'd still be in those cars on this track because they love it.
Oh, for sure. Joe, do you feel like this Speed Weeks, there's a different racer out there right now. There's a racer that's opening the door just a little bit more to the media, a little bit more to the race fan. You know, Kenny Wallace has his piece on Speed. You go behind the scenes. I've never heard Dale Jr. like that. Each of these drivers have a little bit more passion. They're opening the door. They're opening their heart in some cases and saying, here's what I'm all about. This is why I'm here. I love doing this. I don't know what it is about this year, but I get this this hometown feeling about Daytona.
Yeah, and there's going to be 200,000 people here come the Daytona 500, and their time is going to be crunched. Their minds are definitely going to be focused in on what they do, and that's race those cars at 200 miles an hour and try to win that big race. But I got to tell you, it was wild. I know we're not going to get to all the clips that I have here today, and we're going to share them at some point. Of course, we're going to be back on the air Friday, tomorrow, from 3 till 5 p.m. Right here from the Fan Zone. So if you're out there listening and you're going to be at the truck race tomorrow, get out to the Fan Zone early and come and join us. We're going to be on top of the fan deck. Now, Todd, you can't be with us. You got to be at Volusia County Speedway and taking care of the dirt action that's going to happen out there tomorrow night.
Well, I was really hoping to be able to be here tomorrow. You know, kind of we could talk about the 150s and we can lead into the truck race, but we had the rain out last night. We're going to have to double up, and I'm the voice of the Super Dirt Series Big Block Modifieds this week, so got to go.
Yeah.
Sorry. But I'll see you Saturday for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely, yeah. And we're going to be back on the air here Saturday from 10 until noon, and that will be on SiriusXM Channel 157, Sports Express. You got to get a Sirius satellite radio, fans. But the neat part about Racetime Radio is you can get us online, and we do stream everything online live, and you can get it with your iPad, iPhone, Android, any way, any electronic device, so to speak, you can get Racetime Radio, and it doesn't cost you a cent.
And I do want to say something, Joe, just as a, you know, to back up a few minutes.
I'm not normally the voice of the Super Dirt Series Big Block Modifieds. A guy named Shane Andrews calls the races for Dirt Car, and he's under the weather this year. I got the call a few weeks ago, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it. Got some complications, some things coming up. Didn't get into any detail with me, so I won't on air.
Right.
You know, he's under the weather and can't make it. It's killing him. I mean, there's text messages and phone calls. How's it going? But can't make it. And Tom Deary and Gary Rich, the folks there, were kind enough to allow me to come over and call the Dirt Modifieds. My passion, upstate New York, you know, Super Dirt
Week. Yeah.
You know, the Brett Hearns, Danny Johnsons, Alan Johnsons, Bobby Varens, those guys. But I'm privileged to do it. Just filling in, though, I'm filling in some big shoes because this guy, Shane Andrews, he eats, breathes, talks, lives Modifieds.
Right.
But that's what we're doing this week, so having a good time with
You're doing a fantastic job with it, too. I can tell you from listening to you out there the other night, tremendous.
We appreciate it.
You're a great announcer, and we really appreciate you jumping on here as well. Let's get back to hearing from some of the different divisions now. We'll leave the Sprint Cup Garage. You know that the Gatorade duels are coming up here starting at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Gatorade Race 1 goes off. Then right in behind it, Gatorade Race 2 will happen. The qualifiers for the Daytona 500, who's going to get in, who's going to be out. All those questions will be answered here today. But the NASCAR Nationwide Series is in their garage, just, you know, on the other side of the aisle from us here. Tensions are building over there. Practices are all taking place. Qualifying is going to come up for those guys tomorrow. Things are really heating up. I caught up with some of those NASCAR Nationwide drivers yesterday, and two in particular that I'm going to play for you. Jeremy Clements is in the 51 car. Jeremy's car looks fantastic, and he can't wait to get out on that racetrack. Here's what Jeremy had to say yesterday.
Brand new season. You get your headshot done yet?
I just did. That's why I got my suit on. I just came from there.
Brand new season. You excited to get the year started, I can imagine?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I've been waiting ever since the last race at Homestead to get the next season started. It's good to start fresh, and I'm excited to try to run good this year again.
You got a beautiful-looking race car. See the guys hard at work, even finishing the detailing off here.
Yeah, we got Kevin Whitaker Chevrolet out of Greenville, South Carolina, on the quarters and 92.5 WSE. On the hood, they're local from where I live, so it's cool to have them on. And we also got Curry's Roofing on the back and Carolina Collision. It's just good to have people supporting us and for this new year.
Jeremy, many team members changed this year in the offseason?
No, we still got the same team we had at pretty much all last year. Same small group of guys. We got a bunch of good, hard-working guys with us.
New rules package. What do you think you're going to feel on that racetrack? Do you think you're going to feel much different than you did last year here?
No, I don't think so. I'm not going to feel much different. We got the same spoiler and stuff. They pretty much just add a little bit to the back of the car, the bumper, and they cut our grill opening a lot. So you're not going to be able to push probably two laps, and then you got to stay back to cool it down, or else it's going to get really hot and you're going to cook your engine. So I think you're going to see a lot more pack racing because we're not going to be able to push each other a lot, and it'll probably be an exciting race. But my game plan is just to get to the end and finish the race, and hopefully it'd be like Talladega last year when there was like 10 cars finished and half of them were wrecked anyway. So get to the end and get a good finish, and you never know about these places, you get a win.
Are you a fan of the two-car Django or the push type or the draft pack? What do you like better?
You know, restricted plate racing, I could really care less about it. You're kind of at the mercy of your car. But I would definitely say pack racing is a lot funner to me because you can control your own destiny instead of that two-car tandem deal. You got to have a good partner, and it's just not as fun to me. And it's not as fun to watch, for sure.
It looks like you guys have really worked on this car a lot. It's a gorgeous-looking piece.
Yeah, we've had a lot of time in it. It's an X-Car from Childress we picked up over the winter that Tim George Jr. ran here last year in the Nationwide race. And it's our first time we've ever had a Speedway car. So I'm anxious to see what it'll do.
Let's talk about qualifying. When we get to that stage, where do you think this is going to fit into the field?
You know, probably going to take it easy in practice, go out there, make a few single car runs, and then maybe put ourselves in position in a pack and see what happens. The problem is you don't want to put yourself in a bad position and get in a wreck that somebody else calls, and that's what seems you're seeing with the Cup guys and out there, and you just don't want to take that risk. We got a backup car in there, but It's not even, it don't have the grill like it's supposed to be in the back. It's not really race ready to go on the track. So we're playing defense in practice. And in qualifying, I honestly don't know. And we're locked in. I don't want to qualify 35th, but it don't really matter where you qualify here. And, you know, we're not going to put a lot of emphasis on it, really.
We get into the 300. How will you look at that? Will you hang out at the back for a while? Or does that strategy come into play now that we're pretty well back to the pack style racing?
I'd say strategy comes into play for sure. You know, I talked to Justin Allgaier. He's talking about going in the back. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I'm still thinking that. I'll see how practice goes tomorrow, watch some tape, and study it and make a decision there when it's game time.
I know I'll have you lots this week. We're going to keep our eye right on you, Jeremy. Good luck in practice and qualifying. Have a good, safe run out there, and we'll talk to you after qualifying's all done.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
And you know what? Jeremy's probably on that track right now. We are live here at Daytona International Speedway, and the NASCAR Nationwide Series are on the racetrack right now. They are definitely not doing single car runs. They're out there, and you can see some packs starting to form up, but they will be definitely keeping their distance, Todd. You can guarantee that. No one wants to tear their car up this early in the game.
Well, we give a live update right now. Top six we just pulled off the board. James Buescher leads practice right now. Casey Kane second quick. Kurt Busch third quick with that James Finch number one. How about that number four car, buddy?
The 27. That's and right. That is the Go Canada race car from last year. It's GCMI this year. Steve Meehan's number 27 with David Reagan behind the wheel. They're running fourth quick right now. That's got to be great news.
Fourth quick with Ricky Stenthouse there in sixth, and Trevor Bain next in line. Excuse me, fifth, and Trevor Bain next in line. So practice continues here at Daytona International Speedway, and Buescher, we knew Buescher would be back in a big way, both in trucks and in Nationwide, and I hear he's going to make a couple of cup starts this year. So James Buescher really starting to come back a little bit. And you know what? We know Kurt Busch is fast, but how about that for James Finch? I know he destroyed two cup cars this week, for James Finch to run up front consistently now, that's a feel-good story.
It's going to be huge. We heard from him earlier today. I did speak with James Finch yesterday. He's excited. I said it was an expensive shootout for you. He said, that's all right. We got more cars. We got a great driver. And he said, the honeymoon is still on.
Well, absolutely. And you know what's cool is Rick Hendrick believes in that team as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's going to fund that thing, HendrickCars.com. That's fantastic. Tag Heuer Eyewear is back with Kurt. Mm-hmm. So there's some funding there. Not enough yet, but enough funding to where they can buy some pieces that are really good. Take him to the wind tunnel. They've got the Hendrick Motor package. I think James Finch and Kurt Busch are going to have a great time this year.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Whether you like him or not, no, I think they're going to have a good time, and they don't care what you think.
Yeah, you know what? Kurt Busch has always been one of those guys that, and this industry has guys like that. That's how we get competition on that racetrack. They have opinions, and you know what? Everybody has gone off at the wrong time every now and then. Just unfortunate for Kurt Busch that he went off when he did with that little camera going. And you know what else can you say? The guy has changed, though. I've spoke with him a number of times this week, and he's a much calmer, cooler, collected guy. He's more comfortable, and for whatever reason, we've seen that before. But you know what, I find in this industry we judge the person's personality more than probably we should. The story is on the racetrack, and what he does on that racetrack is phenomenal. I wouldn't doubt we're going to see another great performance from him today.
Kurt Busch made a great statement on SiriusXM Speedway with Dave and Angie. He said, I hope my experiences teaches others. And Dave said, well, what do you mean? He said, you never know when there's a cell phone camera on you, when there's
That's
a cell
right.
phone video. You can't see that little 4-inch tall phone hanging out behind you, off between two trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it's always there. Whether you see it or you don't, it's always there. Mind your P's and Q's, and that's what he's going to do now.
That's right, and you can guarantee he's going to do that each and every time he steps out of that car. And whether he is hanging out at a McDonald's somewhere getting a burger with his girlfriend.
That's right.
He'll definitely be watching those P's and Q's. Another driver I got a chance to speak with yesterday, just a quick comment, but he had a big smile on his face, and that was Justin Allgaier.
So it's been interesting because I've been down here since last week, and it's been good to be down here, but, man, it's miserable to sit down here and see all these cars going on the racetrack and hear them and not be out there. So what do you do?
What do you think we're going to see this year? A little different rules package? Do you think we're going to see anything different?
I think you're going to see a lot different. I think this year is going to be Daytona and Talladega are going to be crazy. But you know what, though? I think it's going to be good. I think all the guys are kind of know what they're up against. And, I mean, we saw a great race in the Bud Shootout the other night. So I think we'll see equally as good, coming up this Saturday.
Daytona would be a great spot to win, wouldn't it?
It would be an amazing spot to win. I think anytime you ask a driver where they like to win, Daytona is right there up on the list. So hopefully we can pull it off. I think we got a great Brandt Chevy. The guys have been working hard in the offseason, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Catch you after practice and qualifying. Good luck.
Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
Huge smile on Justin's face. He can't get ready fast enough. He's set. You know he's out on that racetrack. He's probably climbing on those speed charts. We can't see the pylon from where we're located, but we are up on the fan deck. So if you're at Daytona International Speedway listening to us on your iPhone, your iPad, come on up to the fan deck and see Todd and I. We're just hanging out. About 15 minutes left in today's show. Let's move on now and talk about some of the trucks. The Camping World Truck Series, Todd, a month ago probably wasn't looking as good as it is today. It looks amazing over in that garage.
We heard Wayne Otten, series director, here a couple of months ago, and he promised we are going to be over full for trucks for Daytona. And I was driving down the road in my truck listening to this thinking, there's no way.
Me too.
What I've heard, there's no way. You hear every year, oh, the truck series is going to shut down. The truck series is going away. You know what? It's not. Because when someone leaves, two more show up.
Absolutely.
It happens all the time. Somebody with funding, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes with people making plans, people talking to sponsors. Ownership groups merging happens all the time, all over the country, everywhere. Just got off the phone 2 days ago with a driver. There's another one coming. I can't say it yet. There's another one coming from Martinsville.
Yeah.
They couldn't get it together for Daytona, but they're coming. I mean, the truck series, and to me, my favorite race of the week is the truck race on Friday night. Reason being, and I guess Ron Hornaday and Mike Wallace proved me wrong at Talladega, but you normally don't get a two-truck tango.
No.
Normally.
No.
And I don't know rules package-wise if they're going to be able to do that again this year.
Not a chance.
But, I mean, they were tied together at Talladega, and you knew one of those two trucks. That was a KHI win. I mean, that was just those guys were phenomenal. But usually it's big packs. It's three or four guys get out in front, and then it shuffles. And then it shuffles again. I love the truck series. I love it. That Mike Skinner's going to be back, at least for one race, hopefully more.
Yeah.
You know, he and Angie have done so much behind the scenes to put a truck deal together. I like it that Mike Skinner's coming back. I love Mike Skinner. I mean, he is truck series to me.
That guy,
I cannot wait to watch him hit the racetrack with that Eddie Sharp Racing entry. And I mean, you can see it in my face. I'm fired up. I love trucks. Love them.
Absolutely. Jason Leffler's going to be in the 18 for KBM.
Yes, sir.
Just a little peek into Saturday's show. You and I, Todd, are going to be sitting here with Rick Wren. He is coming to join us. We're going to be able to pick his brain and find out what all what all's happening at KBM, because we know there's lots happening. There's lots going on behind the scenes. But the Dollar General 18 is going to be piloted here at Daytona by Jason Leffler. That's going to be exciting. He's going to be in some great equipment.
Absolutely. And Jason Leffler is a shoe. And there's been a few years where, you know, he was really coming on strong and then kind of fell back a little bit nationwide series-wise. I think he gets back in the truck, and he's been in a truck before and done a fantastic job. And with Kyle Busch as a boss and Rick Wren as a mentor, I look at him to have a great season. I really do.
In the truck garage yesterday, Sue and I going through getting some words from some of the different drivers. And one that I was real happy to hear that he was going to be behind the wheel again was Brendan Gaughan.
Absolutely.
Great news to hear Brent's going to be behind the wheel. First guy I seen when I walked into the garage was Brendan Gaughan. Here he is. Jeez, look at the smile on your face. Garage just opened up. Has that gone through tech yet, that number two South Point?
Well, it's a South Point Chevrolet. This is RCR now. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, hey, we can. That's the defending owner's champion right there. That's the one that Kevin Harvick had last year that won the owner's championship, and it's all now RCR stuff. We have rolled through tech, and They nitpicked a few little things on us, but that's okay. That's what NASCAR's job is. NASCAR's job is to nitpick us, and our job is to make sure we push enough things to make them nitpick.
Yeah.
So we've gone through tech. It wasn't as bad as we thought. We're okay. Got a few little things to Bondo up here. But I'm ecstatic right now. We're in Daytona. I've got the truck here for the Daytona race, and I'm part-time in all three schedules for Richard Childress. So best opportunity I've had in a decade, and really looking forward to this year.
Quality means everything, doesn't it, Brendan?
This whole business is about what happens at the race shops before you get there. And seeing the way Richard Childress Racing does their programs and how they run things, you realize that we have been bringing a knife to a gunfight with all these teams the last couple of years. I mean, just how organized they are. They wind tunnel tested. I'm in the 33 Nationwide car for 10 races also. They wind tunnel tested my Las Vegas car in December. It was together, done, and in the wind tunnel. Austin Dillon's wind car was done in the middle of December for Vegas. That's the third race of the season.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's amazing you see how well and how organized and the amount of stuff that goes into it. Their own carbon fiber building, their own 3D printers, their own, you know, their own R&D department. Everything about it is just so different and top-notch. It's frightening.
You know, you did have me and a lot of your race fans pretty nervous heading into the beginning of the season, because we weren't hearing much, and, man, I'll tell you, they would just not be right to not have you, especially here at Daytona.
You know, the main thing for me is I'm not a guy that wants to come out here and just race. I want to come out here and race for wins, and I still believe in myself. A lot of people still believe in me that I have that in me. So this is kind of our last chance to do it. I'm with Richard Childress now. I've got 8 truck races, 10 nationwide, and 4 Sprint Cup. And my Sprint Cup car that I'm driving at Phoenix won Charlotte last year. So, I mean, this is the no-excuses tour for me. I mean, we got great equipment, great guys. And just honored and ecstatic that Richard Childress has given me the opportunity. So we're going to have some fun. I do know that in my nationwide schedule, I have Montreal on my schedule. So I will be at the road course up in Montreal. I'm really pumped about that because I do love racing at Montreal. I wanted Road America. I lost out to Max Pappas, but I still got Montreal. So I'm ecstatic.
You know, you don't have to look far to see a believer. You're looking at one right here. You're great to watch on the racetrack. What do you think we're going to see this year, Bren, with the rule changes that we've got?
Well, you know, I mean, in the truck series, not many. The only thing, we were just talking with Mike Dillon. You know, I actually don't know what Mike Dillon's title is at RCR. We'll call him Champions Daddies, because he's got two champion sons. So we'll just call him Champions Daddies. But we were talking about the new grill openings that NASCAR made us do for the truck series here. And, of course, Daytona, they talked a lot after the Bud Shoot about the grill opening, where they moved it, the pressure in the radiator tanks that we carry, all that stuff. But for the rest of the year, for the truck series, there's not many. It's going to be same great racing that the Camping World Trucks always put on. In the Nationwide Series, it's the same car for the second straight year now, which is nice, some consistency. So that's going to be some great racing there. And in the Cup Series, the only really new thing is the EFI, you know, going to the fuel injection. And I really didn't see a need for it, but there was a green initiative somewhere that probably wrote a nasty letter to NASCAR, and they felt the need to do it. So now they got the fuel injection. You'll probably see it in the next 5 years roll to all the series and cost us another millions and millions of dollars. So, hey, that's part of their deal. But you know what? The main deal about that was the manufacturers wanted it. The manufacturers wanted to go to that because it's what they sell on Sunday. So we're happy to have it. We're going to spend the money and make it right. And it's the sport always is ever-changing.
One more sleep and you're in your number two. I bet you can't wait.
I wish it was today. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you can't get any more excited than what that Brendan Gaughan is. He's a great guy.
And he's a straight shooter.
Absolutely.
Brendan will tell you how, it doesn't matter. I mean, Brendan's, you know, he owns casinos.
Yep.
So, I mean, here's the thing about Brendan Gaughan that I like. He doesn't try and hide the fact that he's already got money.
Yeah.
He appreciates the opportunity he's got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he knows, he said, hey, man, this is my shot. And I heard him on Sirius Channel 90. With one of the shows over there, and he said, there's no two ways about it, and I think it was with Dave Moody.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to give this thing one more shot, and I am putting myself in absolutely the best equipment, RCR, no question.
Yeah, can't truck, get any better.
Truck Nationwide Cup, you know, he said his cars were done in December.
Yeah.
I mean, for Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fantastic. So he's giving himself another shot to say, man, if I can do it, I'm going to do it, and if I can't, well, we'll see what happens. He's still an off-road racer. He's an off-road race announcer. I mean, Brendan Gaughan's got a lot of stuff going on. Love the guy.
He even calls it himself, he has no excuses tour. This is
That's it.
He's going to have some fun this year, but he's going to win. and you can guarantee it. I like his chances right here at Daytona.
Absolutely. In any series at Daytona, Brendan Gaughan's good, whether it be Cup or Nationwide or Truck. And, you know, and he'll even admit, a few years ago, he jumped into the Cup thing a little bit too early. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I believe it was the Penske 77.
Yep.
Kind of equipment that was maybe some R&D stuff.
Yep.
And you know, didn't really get a clean shot at perfect equipment.
Yeah.
And even Roger Penske said that, hey, we're trying some stuff here. You know,
right.
The 77 car, Dave Blaney was in that car. For a while. Travis Quaffle was in that car for a while.
Yeah.
And it was the R&D machine.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's in some stuff where, okay, here we go. I'm Brendan Gaughan. I'm here to play. We're going to go get it done this year.
Watch him at Daytona Friday night in that truck race. Qualifying will come up for the trucks later today for the Friday show. And keep it tuned right here to Racetime Radio. We'll get you some updates, but you'll also want to tune in to Sirius NASCAR Radio Channel 90. And you can listen to the live broadcast of each and every race on MRN Radio. And you can hear NASCAR 24/7 on Sirius NASCAR Radio Channel 90. Now, we're going to leave the Daytona stuff for just a couple of minutes because we are rapidly running out of time. I do want to touch on some of the short track racing that's taken place out at New Smyrna Speedway. Here is the winner from last night's race was rained out, but we're going to go back now to the race, the last race that ran at New Smyrna Speedway. Here is the Pro Late Model winner. Here he is.
Drew, fantastic job out there. You got a win, night number five.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, but we did get a win there. Got a little work to do on the race car to get ready for that 50-lapper here at Saturday, but crew worked awesome all day today. You know, we only had two guys here all day and made for a long day, and I'm ready to hit the shower and go to bed.
Feels good getting that win, I bet.
It does. It's been about a year, 2 years now since I've been in Victory Lane here at New Smyrna Speedway. You know, one of my favorite tracks, only a few hours from my house down in Miami, Florida. And I got to thank Mom and Pop for giving me this opportunity to, you know, come back out of college and go racing again.
Great way to kick the season off. What's coming down the line for you in 2012?
We're looking at running some K&N East races. We'd like to run Iowa, New Hampshire, Dover, some big races, and just some big late model races throughout the year. And hopefully we can get some sponsors on board to go do those big races the way we need to do them and have some fun this year.
Big announcement at Daytona International Speedway just the other day. We got big short track race going to come to Daytona next year. That would be a great race to qualify for.
That'd be an awesome race to compete in. You know, there's a huge fan base. Sure, it's going to be a big purse, and you know, it's going to be a big media deal as well, too. So, you know, you never get enough media in this racing world.
A lot of great sponsors on that car.
Yeah, I got to thank Brandon Specialties, my mom and dad, South Park Auto, a little auto repair shop down in Miami, and then Mikey and Tom, Walt, and the crew, and they did an awesome job. And we're going to go get us another one tomorrow night.
That's Drew Brennan, and he is exceptionally fast in that 08 car. You heard him talk about the race that's going to happen here, the short track race at Daytona that's going to come down in 2013. He really wants to qualify for that race. You can see him at New Smyrna Speedway in the Pro Late Model division. Always exciting to watch. Tons of cars at New Smyrna Speedway this year. Now, coming home second in that same race was a Canadian. Driver of the number 9, that's Brandon Watson. Here's Brandon.
Yeah, that was close racing. It was really fun in there at the end, racing with the one car in the 08. We got lucky in the restarts on the outside. We were able to get by a couple guys and try for a lead. We had a good chance there one time. The leader got a bit squirrely and went up the track. We got on the inside of him, but our car just didn't set up for the inside, unfortunately. I got in there, but just got loose and had to pull back and fall in behind him again and just hope he'd mess up bigger. And
nice clean racing, too.
Yeah, right there at the end, it was pretty good. You know, there's no bumping and running here. It's hard to pass here. You just got to wait for the person ahead of you to mess up. You're trying to pass them clean. Sometimes you might give them a little tap or something to loosen them up a bit. But overall, tonight, I think it was a good race up at the front. A lot of clean racing and no wreck cars.
What are you going to do to this thing to get that one more spot? Is there anything you can do to the car, or do you just got to pretty well wait your turn?
I found my car came in at the end there. We got to work on getting the car at the start, maybe getting the lead early and trying to hold on to it. Be a lot easier. Just got to make a couple little adjustments, tighten the car up a bit. Maybe tomorrow we'll work on it in practice, and hopefully tomorrow we come out and can be for the win again.
Got some long races coming, too. Those are probably going to fit you like a glove.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the 50-lapper at the end. I'm hoping we have a good car and maybe can come away with the top finish.
Logos looks great on that machine.
Yeah, it's Logos Auto Parts. I got to thank Shimano Products, the Smart Exchange Propane Cylinder Exchange, Spray Frame Alignment, and all my crew.
Now, third place in that same race. Here you go. With Cody Coughlin in the one. Cody, not a bad run tonight. Third spot for you.
Yeah, it was a great run. We were fast all week, and it was nice to be able to get a good finish to show for our hard work this week. I'm very proud of everybody on the Jags.com Chevy, and it's a great showing.
What a racetrack. What a week. Lots of competition, beautiful weather.
Well, it's beautiful weather, great competition, a great track, a great area. It's neat to be racing down here when Daytona's just down the street with all those guys over there, so it's neat.
Now let's hear from the super late model winner, and that was Tyler Benjamin in the 71 car. Man, I'll tell you, Todd, this guy was flying on the racetrack. Here he is. Kyle Benjamin in the 71. Kyle, you've got this thing just flying this week.
Yeah, we got a good car. We came down here, didn't get much practice, and luckily we unloaded good. And I can't say enough about my team, Freddie Query, Joey Bishop, my dad, Michael Masters, my papa, my mom, everybody making this possible. Oh, and Elaine Query.
You got a stacked team here for sure. Short track racing is the roots of all your guys.
Oh, short track racing is the best. I mean, that's where it's at. Down here in Florida, everywhere in Florida, Gulf Coast, down on this side of Florida, good racers everywhere. I mean, it's been a good race. I've had fun down here. I like the track, too.
Yeah, you got to be excited for the rest of the season.
Very excited. Started off strong, and I can't wait. I'm feeling good about it. I was just thinking about that, actually, about our next races, and I'm excited.
Action continues tonight at New Smyrna Speedway. It does at Volusia County Speedway on the dirt side of things as well. Fans, make it out to those races. Watch some of these drivers. They'll blow your mind. They're the future stars that we're going to see here at Daytona International Speedway in the ARCA Series, in the Truck Series, in the Nationwide Series, and on up into the Cup Series. Today is the Gatorade Duels. They all start at 2 o'clock. Gatorade Race 1 will go. We'll find out who qualifies through that, and then Gatorade 2 comes up, and we'll figure out the balance of the field for the Daytona 500. Todd, this is going to be an exciting afternoon. Lots of people already here at Daytona International Speedway.
Man, the place is packed, and I tell you what, you know, if you think about the economy, it's on everybody's mind, but when I rolled in here, the way I kind of gauge the economy, you may think this is weird. I come in the Turn 1 tunnel, and if I can look over and see any open camping spot between Turn 1 and Turn 2 against the fence,
right,
then I know the economy's down. It's packed. They're three deep.
Yeah,
it is. I think we're on our way back, buddy.
I think it's well on its way back. Amazing crowd here at Daytona. On the infield, all the action heats up today. Hey, you have a good time at that dirt track. I know you guys got big block modified action out there. Double features tonight.
Double features tomorrow.
Oh, double features
tomorrow.
Which
is why I won't be with you.
Well, yeah, but there's double features tonight, too.
No, not...
I don't know. The email I seen, okay. You know what? I am one day off. I stand corrected.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah, you'd know. You're at the racetrack.
Well, I want to throw in a shameless plug quickly for Dirt Car. One thing they did do for the fans, I'm not sure if New Smyrna is doing it or not. If you buy a general admission ticket, it's an automatic pit pass.
That's right, yeah.
So slide right on in. I mean, all the stars are there. Casey Kane's going to be there tonight. Stewart will be out there.
Yep.
All the guys that love dirt racing, Clint Boyer will be there. Eric Almirola will be there. So, you know, a chance to grab a quick autograph.
You know what? I can't stop the show until we hear from Josh Richards. We've got to throw a little dirt
Rocket
action
there
in here.
There you go. Absolutely.
Talked to him the other night when I was out there. Let's play that interview before we hit the extra to the show. But here is Josh Richards, the number one past champion of the world of outlaw dirt late models.
It's been awesome so far. You know, I guess our finished fourth, 2 seconds in a win. So it's really awesome to start the week off here with the win. The heat race is really cool. You know, I think there's like 85 or so cars here right now that are really good. To win the heat race, start up front, that means a lot. Hopefully we keep this rocket house car up front.
Yeah, that track looks awful fast out there tonight. Looks like the one's ready.
It's really fast. You know, we had the track record until last year at 15.9, and then Pat Doerr set it at 15.7. I think Morty went like a 15.1 at qualifying. So track is supersonic, but I think it's going to be a good race once the top slows down a little bit, so I'm excited to get out there.
How many more races are you going to do before, because I know you said you weren't going to do the full season, or has that changed?
We're going to do the full season this year in the Outlaws. Yeah, we're still working on some asphalt stuff right now in the works, but right now our primary focus is the Outlaws.
And that was news. When I had Josh on at the end of the season, he was kind of looking at doing a lot more with the Camping World Truck Series and not competing full blast in the world of Outlaw late models. That's changed. He is now full blast.
Yeah, that was news to me as well. And I'm sure later on in the season, some funding will become available. A seat will open. That's kind of what happened last year. Well, we're going to get him right into it. And as the season rolls on, I don't think there is a silly season per se anymore. I think the whole year's silly.
Yeah.
I mean, if you come up with funding,
right?
You can get in. Literally, Joe, if I had $500,000 in my pocket right now,
yeah,
I'm in at Martinsville, just so you know that.
Are
you? You know, I could go to, well, you know, well, that's what I'm saying. If I had that, I could go there. You know?
You had me. I thought for
no, sure. No.
You were saying you were in.
Well, I mean, I race short track myself, but,
right.
You know, you have to have a little bit of a resume.
Right.
You go do your homework. You go talk to Brett Bodine. You talk to NASCAR. If they know you're not going to go willy-nilly and put the thing in the fence every week, it takes the funding to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's all about funding now. You don't really see drivers get picked out. Oh, man, this guy's good. I got to have him.
Right.
Oh, no. This guy's good. You got a checkbook?
That's
so
right.
So it's silly season all year long. Drivers have turned into more marketing people. Where can I get the funding to go do what I want to do?
Yeah, and that's the name of the game.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately.
Absolutely.
That's the way it is.
Absolutely,
and,
unfortunately,
you know
what?
When that economy does flip around, we're going to see the times back to what we've seen before where, you know, I can afford now to buy the ability to go and put into the car and put it back into the owner's position.
A more happy medium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would think. And that's the way it used to be.
Absolutely. That's right.
It's going to change. Everything.
It's all cyclical.
The ball is round, right?
Yep. It's all cyclical.
Just like the wheel.
Absolutely.
You want to believe it. Well, you know what? We have thoroughly enjoyed doing what we're doing today here at Daytona International Speedway, and we sure hope you enjoyed what we did here at Daytona. It was a great day here. Lots of action still to come at Daytona. The Gatorade duels come up 2 o'clock. Don't miss them. Right in behind that, the trucks will qualify for tomorrow's next Air 250. And then, of course, the NASCAR Nationwide Series, the drive for COPD 300 comes up on Saturday. And then, of course, the Daytona 500. It is still a wild, wild week to come.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, and I told you to begin with, the next Era Energy Resources 250 for the trucks, watch out. That's the race to me that is going to be the most wild. It usually is. And I'll be at Volusia, but I'll have that one DVR'd for sure.
Okay, now you're not going to be with me tomorrow.
I will not.
Make your truck pick. Quick.
Man. You know what? It's not going to be anything but just a gut feeling, and I really hope the guy does it. I would love to see Mike Skinner win. I would love to. And Dark Horse, because Mike Skinner's not a Dark Horse.
No.
Dark Horse, Brendan Gaughan.
Brendan Gaughan?
Yeah.
I'm saying J.R. Fitzpatrick.
Beautiful.
He's in that
not a bad
turn
pick.
One. No, not experienced here at Daytona, finished fourth one time.
Absolutely.
I think he's got potential, but I love Brendan Gaughan's chances.
Okay, great.
I really do.
Great.
Sentimental. But you know what? Ty Dillon looked wicked, too, and he's going to be out there.
I'll tell you
and
what.
So is Joey Colfer.
Are we going to have another Dillon this year as a championship driver,
well,
you think?
I don't know. Joey Colfer may have something to say about that. We're going to hear lots more from the truck guys tomorrow. We go live from Daytona tomorrow from 3 till 5 p.m. Join us here on Race Time Radio. I want to thank Grant Slater back in the studio. Remember, race fans, the races are on today. They're going to be on all week. If there's a week to call in sick, if there's a time to call in sick, it's right now. Call your boss. Tell him you don't feel good. Get home and huddle in to either Fox, Speed, Racetime Radio, or Sirius NASCAR Radio on Channel 90. You won't miss a thing, and you'll get some great racing action. Todd Morey, thanks for stepping in here today, and I look forward to you co-hosting with me on Saturday. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Dude, I love it. It's great. It's great to be here.
And that is going to do it for us here at Daytona International Speedway. If I can just find the cue to the end of the show for Susie Q, myself, Todd, we're out of here at Daytona. I'm going to go get something cool to drink. I can't wait. The Gatorade 125s. 150s?
150s. What year are you in?
I'm showing my age again.
Oh, boy, you age yourself.
The Gatorade 150s are coming up. We're getting something cold to drink. This is going to be a good time.
Thanks for listening to Race Time Radio, presented by Shell Rotella Heavy Duty Diesel Engine Oil. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig, dig, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy.